If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Fuck you.
This is the main complaint I got. I am blocking Alex's face with my microphone.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with this setup.
I can just be up here. Hello. Welcome to TDS 449, Bruce.
All right, you're never going to stop doing Michael Caine.
The right stuff.
Men of our race are still being born with the right stuff.
The Jewish apocalypse.
We have to find a sample of Michael Caine saying something biased for the beginning of the show. It's terrible. It's just not good. I just can't do it. Sometimes I can do it. Comes through. Anyway, we're here. Sven and Mike in the studio. Alex on Skype, far away on the monitor in the background. But when we switch to... how can I do this? When we switch to this view, if you're watching the video, now you can see... Alex over in the corner. Alex McNabb in the corner. So, that always works. And I don't know who this guy is sitting with you with his wrist like that. Surely that's...
Yeah, I've never seen that.
That's not something that I would ever do. You must have had somebody else stand in with you on prepping the... what do we do? Prep at the desk? We're calling it prep at the desk now, Jamie? I guess that works. That's fine. It's prepping the whatever.
I don't like that little trash can back there.
Where's the little trash can? Oh, yeah, look at that. That's my paper trash can. I didn't even notice that was there.
I don't think that needs to be in the shot.
No, it shouldn't have been, but that's what happens sometimes. Just moving stuff around. It's not in the shot now. That's the important thing. That was just prep. For the actual show, what is it? Mike's just like reading.
It's like, sorry, I'm trying. So, I started looking at that Claire Lehman thing.
Oh, Claire Lehman.
And fucking Nathan Koffness, the ultimate fraud of all frauds. I've been dragging him for a fucking while now. The guy is a fucking complete fucking tool. He jumps in, he says, Claire Lehman isn't Jewish. She said that she's Jewish.
Koffness is, why doesn't he just like,
I don't know. This other, there's this small crew of alt-right orbiting Jews. They're getting smaller and smaller because I won't acknowledge them. But there's a guy on Twitter. He got all mad at me because I laughed at that video of like that Latino guy punching that Orthodox guy in the head. You remember when
I haven't seen it, but I'm laughing now.
It was on police cam. It was really funny.
That sounds great.
These Orthodox guys, they walk around like they own the fucking town. They have this walk.
I mean, they do.
They do. They literally own it.
That's the problem.
But they have this walk, like this arrogant kind of walk. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like awkward. It's like they're literally like they're fucking flexing as they walk. And this Latino guy, he comes up, he just fucking pops the guy from behind and just knocks him down. It's really funny.
That's great. That's good.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to laugh at that. I don't
absolutely
care.
Absolutely. Why would somebody be upset about you laughing at that?
Oh, because he was a Jew. Because he's Jewish.
But who's upset?
It was just this Jew that follows me on Twitter.
Oh, it's a Jew. Okay, all right.
And he's like, you really are a shitty person. I was like, yeah, why don't you unfollow then?
It's like, no, like a shitty person got punched in the back of the head. Yeah. And I'm laughing. I'm a good person.
But it's also funny. So I make the point that Claire Lehman is out there like tone policing people on the right. And Koffness jumps in, Claire Lehman's not Jewish. Claire Lehman is Jewish. Okay, she worked for like...
So Koffness is continuing his streak of just being totally wrong.
No, he's continuing his streak of being a total liar.
You think he's a liar? He's lying or he's wrong?
Yeah, oh, no, he's not. No. He's lying.
I think that guy's just dumb.
No. Right? Dude, the guy's an Oxford professor. He's not dumb. He's a liar.
But isn't he Jewish?
Yeah.
I mean, can't you just be Jewish and be like, I want to be an Oxford professor? And like, poof. There.
Sometimes.
No, you're not.
But he's
professor.
Not. Yeah,
so,
Koffness
Barry
Weiss very
regards
bad.
Lehman as a member of the intellectual dark web. Are you fucking
intellectual dark
me?
Web is all Jewish.
Yeah.
She.
Dude. What's that guy's name? Pinker?
Who named Lehman? First of all, who named Lehman isn't Jewish. Remember Lehman Brothers? Lehman is a Jewish name. I've never met anybody in my life named Lehman that wasn't Jewish.
Yeah.
And that spelling.
Was it L-E-H, right?
Rational Wiki calls her an alt-right anti-feminist.
Nah, well, Rational Wiki is stupid, okay? That's the difference between Koffness and Rational Wiki. So now I'm, like, annoyed. I want to find, like...
Oh, no. It's Matt.
Oh, man.
You guys just filibuster.
Host Mad. Write that down, Jamie. Host Mad. Mike's mad at Kaufman. I saw him trying
Dude, there's everything.
I saw Kaufman trying to like call out the culture of critique again and then like completely ignore you trying to like try to challenge him into another debate.
He won't debate.
Yeah, no, he won't do it. It's so funny. He like calls you ignorant and this and this. It's like, no, guy. Is this the opposite? That's why you won't talk to him. I don't debate ignoramuses. It's like, you mean I don't debate people that are going to BTFO me, so... He just pretends you didn't read his paper. It's like,
yeah.
We've heard the critiques of the critique. Like, dude, you read the paper.
She's all
like,
over...
I didn't read the
paper. Dude, she is all over Jewish stuff. Like, she's fucking...
God, is it Jewish stuff?
There's no question that she's Jewish.
The intellectual dark web. More like the intellectual astroturf. I mean, can we just get done with that whole category?
Well, I mean, basically, people are done with that category. Nobody's fucking engaged in that. Well, I guess a lot of people are engaged with it. Nobody was, like, on any cutting edge of any kind of thinking. It's just sort of... It's not even grudge chasing. It's just corralling anybody that's questioning.
The intellectual dark web is fucking pathetic.
Yeah.
These guys are not like they're and the fact that like Kaufness like and if somebody identifies as intellectual dark web, it's like you're probably Jewish.
Hmm.
Like it's
I guess you could say I'm intellectual dark web.
Dude, the intellectual dark web, it's so fucking pathetic. It's funny that Kaufness, why would Kaufness jump into Tone Police me just on this? Like, not Tone Police, or just, like, it's like he doesn't, well, he's probably following me more because I dragged him all over Twitter.
It's funny that he won't debate you.
He won't debate him. But
he'll get in your mentions.
He'll jump in my mentions, but he won't debate. Kaufness won't debate McDonald. He was supposed to
I thought he said he would, but then he didn't, right?
He didn't. No, he won't. He says he will, but he really won't.
Yeah.
Because he went on to debate Kevin McDonald on Luke Ford's stream. But then,
Jesus,
when it was supposed to start, suddenly Kaufness is sick that day. He can't do it.
Oh,
weird, right?
That is weird.
So I'm supposed to believe that this guy is telling me sick. The truth.
Lehman has reposted Kaufness before.
And they never reschedule.
Lehman. Now, see, here's the thing. Kaufness, when I was telling him like his paper didn't make any impact and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's true. Its paper doesn't matter. The paper came out over a year ago, and it doesn't. It had no effect. So like,
it has one effect. When you have a discussion with somebody else who's against it, they can say, "No, see this paper right here proves
that's
you're
exactly
full of shit.
The
that's
point.
All it does.
That's exactly the point. The purpose was to have a paper out there
you can link
claiming to refute Kevin McDonald,
and it doesn't refute.
So when Kevin McDonald is brought up, somebody can refer, well, here's this paper that's refuting him by an Oxford professor. That is the purpose of it. It doesn't mean the paper actually does that because it doesn't. And Jordan Peterson amplified it, and Alex Jones amplified it, and he was saying that in my mentions when I was talking about how his paper didn't have any effect.
Mm.
He's like, Jordan Peterson and Alex Jones were both, and I was like, well, Alex Jones is amplifying it? Really? Are you sure? You're 100%. That's where you want to go? And so, like, you know, the holograms, no planes, you know, and also no paper. They're...
Yeah,
that's the conspiracy theory with Kaufness. There's no paper.
No paper.
No paper. There doesn't need to be. There just needs to be a citation. Behind that citation is no paper. There's nothing because he doesn't prove anything. It's just his whole thing is like...
Riru, I've got a citation for you.
His whole thing
pulling
is...
you over. Do you know why I pulled you over today? For being a stupid guy.
I pulled you over. This is a mosaic distinction pullover. Mosaic distinction traffic stop. I'm...
Yeah. Oh, God.
You being religiously intolerant? But
probably. I tend to do that every once in a while.
But like, all right. So here's how Kaufness's paper works. He comes out with it. Nobody reads it. Nobody. The only people that read it were us, right? Yeah. He said I didn't read it.
I didn't read
but
it.
But I'm like one of the few people
If you want an alt-right that didn't read it, it's me. I didn't read your paper, Kaufness, because I know you're Jewish and full of shit.
you don't really need to read it.
We are not debating with these people.
I also didn't read it because like I read it, and therefore you don't have to read it.
I didn't even listen to your, like...
You probably don't even listen, but it doesn't matter.
I didn't listen to the time
Let
when
me
you,
summarize
didn't
you, it. Let
you
me summarize
Striker do it on Strike and Mike or on a stream or something?
We did a while ago, but he's also...
It was a while back, too.
It's old. The paper's been out for over a year.
Yeah.
Okay, and so here's the thing. Here's Kaufman's paper in a nutshell. McDonald makes the claim that Jews are all left-wing. Here's some non-left-wing
Jews.
Here's
Ben Shapiro.
Also, these far left-wing Jews that can be used to say Jews are left-wing are actually outside of the mainstream of Jews like Noam Chomsky. So he lies about what McDonald's thesis is.
Yes.
I know. That was never McDonald's point to begin
with. And now,
he's like, look at this kosher sandwich.
And here's how much of a further liar he is. Mm-hmm. So on the show where Stryker and I went through his paper and debunked it, mm-hmm. we also, you remember that paper that was on Falk's website a while ago? That was like rethinking anti-Semitism?
Yeah, it was
supposed to be printed in American Renaissance, but it was rejected.
I never read that either.
I read that too. And we also went through that paper on the same show. And so mm-hmm. when we did that, so we talked about that paper and Koffnitz's paper. We did the show on both of them. So Koffnitz quotes from us talking about that paper, saying, these guys didn't even read my paper.
Ah.
Because they are using things that wasn't even in my paper.
Why do my biases have to be confirmed like all day long?
Why are they always being confirmed?
It seems as though you were speaking to him as if you were trying to grasp a lump of jelly, and the tighter you squeeze your fingers.
No, he's just... He's legitimately...
He's just lying, then. He's just...
No, he's lying.
Actually lying.
And he's the type that will put a lie in there. Like, Claire Lehman isn't Jewish. He's an absurd... He's like an absurd lie, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Was she one of these Jews that's like, oh, she was raised Episcopalian? Is it like, well, what's his face?
I don't know, but must be. You know, someone else is in the Twitter thread saying, dude, I've seen her in interviews saying that she's a Jew.
Like, I can't imagine being a Jew... trying to do this debate with someone like you and just lying with just like
that's
bald,
his own that's what he has
like
to
that.
Do
but I mean to say that this woman's not a Jew, like, you don't have to do that. Like, you can just say like, oh, what's Jewishness,
or you can just ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, you can just, there's Look, so many other ways to, oh my god, yeah, wow, totally not Jewish,
you're right,
wow,
right. Also, look at all this shit.
Free thought lives.
Free
thoughts live. So easy.
Yeah, no, it's like, and of course, so Claire Lehman also cited Koffnitz, and she's like, look, this resurgence in anti-Semitism is due to this McDonald book, and here we have an intellectual refutation of it.
All right.
And I'm like, no, but you don't. Like, that's the problem. Is
you know what
Koffnitz
should do? Koffnitz, you should go debunk the Controversy of Zion. Go debunk Reed, because that's where the real shit is. It's like, I no disrespect to Dr. McDonald, but that's kind of old hat now. Like, now we've got Douglas Reed, it's like, whoa. It's
well, the good thing, the good
basically
thing
about, it's not the culture of Jesus bad, it's like Reed is like, it's way worse than you thought.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure. I mean, you can, but they're also kind of a different approach. Like, yeah. there's like different approaches. But also, like, the thing is, like, it doesn't, Koffnitz is also hoping that if he says, like, jumps in the thread and he's like, oh, Claire Lehman isn't Jewish, that like throws me off and it makes me look bad or it will do, you know, and if for a second I was like, is this guy fucking kidding me? But I'm sorry, like, someone of the name of Lehman that looks like this woman that promotes the politics she promotes. It's not like I need her to be Jewish. Like, if she wasn't Jewish, I'd have the same critique. Like, David French isn't Jewish and he does the same shit.
Yeah. Can we talk about the paper and talk about the article we were doing? This is the be nice to everybody.
Yes.
Like, there was a Christian article.
So we should talk about this. Secondary... Alex didn't want to talk about this.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's just get into this.
So Claire Lehman is the editor of Quillette, and
Mark Quillette.
Totally fucking.
Imagine if
you just can't.
He should take over.
You really do have pun Tourette's. You really do have pun Tourette's. So there's this article on First Things, which is a Catholic magazine, therefore Sven's favorite magazine.
Black alert. Black alert.
There's no racial connotation in that. And it's just everyone on black alert. The Catholics are here,
and it's by. Oh, it's funny that I brought up David French.
Against David French's?
Because, like, the article that she's critiquing is called Against David Frenchism. And it's true. David Frenchism is the quietus, political quietus, if you will. Like, the polite...
The suicide pill from fucking...
Yes, basically, just be nice and commit suicide. Oh, that was Children of Men.
Children of Man.
Which is called quietus, but that's just because...
Children of
Quietus Man's. Means, like, don't fight it, right?
Yeah.
But just don't fight it. Children of Mams.
Children of Mams.
Pretty good.
Ma'am. Yeah. I'll show you Children of Mams.
Apparently this author quipped on Twitter, there's no polite David Frenchian third way around the Cultural Civil War.
Third way. David
Which
French.
Means that this guy, this author, must be an authoritarian fascist for saying that.
Mm. First Things published a manifesto of sorts signed by several mostly youngish, mostly Roman Catholic writers who argue that there's no returning the pre-Trump conservative consensus of the collapse in 2016. Any attempt Any attempt to revive that failed conservative consensus that preceded Trump would be misguided and harmful to the right. Are you just tweeting, or you're still reading about Claire Lehman?
Well, I'm just reading.
This is like you're getting distracted by your own screen.
Yeah, so here we go.
If you would look at my screen, you'd be on task.
But I just want to finish the Lehman thing. Okay, so Lehman, Lehman, a former rebel media contributor. Okay, clue number one. Founded Quillette in October 2015 with the goal of publishing intellectually rigorous material that makes arguments or presents data not in keeping with the contemporary intellectual consensus. Right. So controlled opposition. Just let me finish. According to the newspaper, The Australian...
No, I'm reacting to the context of what you just read.
Lehman's choice to publish a story about the sacking of Google engineer James Damore, who had written an internal memo criticizing the company's push for diversity in what he called an ideological echo chamber... precipitated her venture's success. Her website was temporarily shut down by a DDoS attack following publication of the piece. Lehman has contributed to a variety of publications, including The Guardian, Harvard Kennedy School in Review, Scientific American, Commentary, another Jewish magazine, Commentary, Rebel Australia, part of the Canadian Rebel Media Network, and the American Jewish magazine, Tablet. So everything she's done is Jewish. Rebel, Commentary, Tablet, and then a few other appearances. Harvard Kennedy School of Government, Jewish.
It's a bit unfair. Everything she's done is in the media, so.
Yeah, Barry Weiss. but there's also...
I know. I'm just teasing you.
There's media, and there's specifically Jewish media, and she's all over specifically Jewish media.
Yeah, Tablet is specifically Jewish.
Rebel is specifically Jewish. Commentary is specifically Jewish. Tablet is specifically
Rebel's
Jewish.
Rebel's for the Goyim, though, right? I mean, that was...
It's for the Goyim, but it's run by a Jew. Yeah. It's specifically Jewish, okay? Like, let's be honest. And she's friends with Barry Weiss. She's part of the intellectual dark web. This bitch is Jewish. Get the fuck out of here, Nathan.
Well, so anyway.
If she's not Jewish, she's the most Jewish Gentile I've ever seen in my life, also with a Jewish name.
Honorary.
The only way she's quote-unquote not Jewish is if she's like a Stephen Miller case, where she's like adopted.
Or if she says
But Stephen Miller's still Jewish.
She could be one of these Jews that says, like, I'm Jewish, but like I'm an atheist.
That's the worst kind of Jew.
Right. It's like that. If Koffness is trying to pretend like that is still makes somebody not Jewish, he's a fucking liar. Koffness has argued. I was talking to Sean about this the other day, and he's like, I was in arguments with Koffness where, and Sean isn't even totally with us. He's not quite where we are. It doesn't matter, but he's where he can be based on what he sees as the data. And so he's like, but Koffness is like, he's out here denying that Jews are particularly in any way ethnocentric when he's a Jew whose entire career is dedicated to like making sure people don't say bad things about Jews. Right. Anyway. And also, like, Koffness is a perfect example of why, like, HBD and IQ nationalism and NRX are all fucking dead ends and blind alleys, because he appealed to literally all of those people. And some of them fucking fell for it in a pathetic fashion. Mm. But, yeah. I won't name any names, but, like, there were some people who I was extremely disappointed in for buying this Jewish bullshit.
Anyway.
But yeah.
So we're going to go back to...
Let's go back to anti-Frenchism.
Anti-Frenchism. Anti-McNabbism. What, are you going to go to Bantram? There he is.
Yeah, this guy like disappeared.
I'm back. Yeah. Oh, man.
Against David Frenchism.
You should piss before we start.
No, it's jalapenos. This is not working out well.
Oh, God. Wonderful. All right.
Man,
so where are we starting?
Like, sit on an ice cube or something.
What is David Frenchism? Or as Irving Kristol said of neoconservatism...
Oh, God!
Frenchism is more persuasion or a sensibility than a movement with clear tenets. And that sensibility is, in turn, bound up with the persona of one particular writer, though it reaches beyond him to pervade a wide... What is this gobbledygook? Tell me what I'm supposed to... Like, give me the TLDR.
We know what David Frenchism is. We've been countering David French for years.
It's conservative quietus.
It's conservative quietus.
It's white death.
Yes.
It's white death.
It's basically like, be nice as they kill you.
Yeah.
So it's just like being polite and above the fray.
Just sit back
like,
and let it happen.
I'm too good to squabble in the dirt. Yeah.
I'm too good to fight back against these people that are trying to destroy me.
Yeah.
It's like everybody ever made fun of, if you fight your enemies, you win. Like, that's literally this kind of conservatism. Well, that's all conservatism, really. But this is just French.
Well, this
is
the particularly egregious example of it. French spells it out.
Yeah.
But that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Whereas some conservatives like just do it, or they pretend like they're not. It's like Donald Trump is this new thing where now, and like the Trump and Farage figures are like this new thing where they're going to pretend like they're not doing that, but they're still actually doing it.
And is it was French the one that was saying that the conservatives won the culture war? Was that him?
He was trying to say
that
like a couple of days ago, and his example was because of these abortion laws. And I'm just like,
yeah,
because we're campaigning on a thing that's totally to distract you from all the failures of the Trump administration.
But it's also like it's like, you know, as Scott Greer pointed out, you know, there were 29 states that banned gay marriage between 2004 and 2012.
Oh, looks like he responded to this article.
Of course he did. This is you got to understand.
Like, let's get through this article before we talked about any response.
Yes, this is in First Things, which is actually a well-regarded magazine, and it's a Catholic magazine. It's well-regarded in the Catholic community. French, I believe, is Catholic, so he would have to respond to an article in First Things. There's no, of course, he would respond. So this is not like something on the Daily Show where he would. You know, French would refuse to respond.
What's
like,
that?
I don't even know what that is. I heard that's a show that went defunct. But he's going to respond to First Things. It's huge in the Catholic community. Mm-hmm. And I used to even, they would get cross-posted on Lou Rockwell and sometimes even Mises and things like that. So it's a conservative Catholic thing. But it's like, finally they're growing some balls. And of course it's written by, I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that Sohad Armari is non-white. I'm just gonna put that out there. I'm gonna throw that out there as a possibility. Sohrab Amari, yeah, I'm guessing that guy's not white. I'm guessing he's some kind of Arab or something. But yeah. So anyway, keep going. Now we can keep going. Now that
I've skipped so far ahead. I don't even know what's relevant here. This is so long.
Well, let's read the bit that Claire Lehman quotes.
All right, read it.
So Claire Lehman quotes on her tweet section of this article that says, "Conservative Christians can't afford these luxuries. Progressives understand that culture war means discrediting their opponents and weakening or destroying their institutions." Do you have read the paragraph above that one?
Yeah. French's response to these developments on the right has been predictable. He spent 2 years promoting the now discredited Russian collusion theory, moralizing and pretending we don't face enemies who seek our personal destruction, just ask Justice Kavanaugh, and haranguing his fellow evangelical Protestants for supporting Trump, as if they were the only American voting bloc ever forced to compromise. As an activist, French has benefited from the Trump GOP's ascendance, but he has kept his hands clean and his soul untainted. As anyone familiar with the Amelia Sedley character in Vanity Fair knows, a kind of airy, above-it-all mentality can supply its own vain satisfactions, but conservatives can't afford these luxuries. Progressives understand that the culture war means discrediting their opponents and weakening or destroying their institutions. Conservatives should approach the culture war with a similar realism. Civility and decency are secondary values. That's the one that everyone's up in arms about right there. They regulate compliance with an established order and orthodoxy. We should seek to use these values to enforce our order and our orthodoxy, not pretend that they could ever be neutral. To recognize that enmity is real is its own kind of moral duty. And like that's kind of how like decent society used to work. It's like there was orthodoxy, there was like enforced social compliance with it, you know. Like it's like the left destroyed ours and then imitated it with this other shit.
But I think what he's making a larger point than that. And first of all, I guess French is a Protestant. I said he's Catholic. I'm sorry. Wow, Mike makes another mistake.
Oh my God, start a
it doesn't matter. He's religious.
Maybe 100 years.
He identifies as a religious Christian. He's going to have to respond to this article. But it's the point. The larger point I think made here is that like. And you don't have to be Christian to believe, to understand this. And I think this is the thing that we've understood all along is that, like, for example, they destroyed the institution of the church. The left did effectively destroy it. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's significantly destroyed. And to the extent it's still around, it's a vehicle for them or it's neutered. Right. Yeah. So that's what we want to do to them. So who wouldn't revel in the destruction of the New York Times? Right.
Oh God.
As an institution of destruction, as an institution that is an institution of Jewish power, an institution of liberalism, an institution of Zionism. This is what you know. It would be fantastic for that institution to go down. Now this guy, I'm not. I mean, I wouldn't go too far praising this Sohab Amrari.
I'm just trying to see like what his background. I'm trying to see what his background.
Yeah,
is.
I see him on the Wall Street Journal talking about the Iran deal, and I'm like, oh boy.
In a way, David French is almost like a liberalist of sorts.
Yes, he is. No,
okay,
he is.
So Sohab Amrari is an Iranian American.
Okay, so yeah, so he's not white,
so
and
he's true white. So he's a true Iranian.
So well, this means he's basically a new Catholic, right? If he's not white, so. I'm just trying to see like if there's an angle to like who this guy is and where he comes from.
I don't even know if he's a Catholic.
This is just in the Catholic.
All right, look, let's. I don't want this to be another segment where we're all over the place and don't present the information.
I'm trying to see if there's an identity piece of information here.
All right,
you know, if he's some kind of Persian Arab like Catholic convert, that it's interesting that that's where this fucking like basically. Sad state of affairs, revolutionary statement, and like, oh, civility has to become like a secondary consideration in the culture wars. Like, amazing that didn't come from some like, you know, old Irish or Italian guy that's been in the United States and been in the church for like, this is going to something that is, you know, going to spark.
Well,
when
white people say these things, they don't get published.
Okay, that could
and
be
they will
too.
they will get purged out of institutions, mm-hmm. even something like First Things. Like they get a pass on this when it's a non-white. But also, like, look, Sohab Amrari, I saw a clip of him on the news talking about the Iran deal, and he's written for the Wall Street Journal. So I'm guessing that there maybe is, you know, if he's an Iranian exile in America and he's writing for neocon magazines and he's talking about the Iran deal, I'm a little bit suspicious there.
Yeah.
But whatever. I don't want to get bogged down in that. There's a larger point to be made, and that point is that David French and that type of conservatism, politeness is simply a cudgel that's only going to be wielded against you.
Yeah.
Civility and decency, the left is not civil and decent, okay? So if you're trying to enforce that on your own people, it's like there's no civility and decency when like the barricades are being stormed and you're on the other side trying to defend it. There's no civility and decency there. That's where we are politically. It's already gone. If you want a society with civility and decency, we need to win. Because these people are undermining it at every core. And so that's what you have to understand. So if you're trying to enforce your people to be civil and decent in the political struggle, then you're just going to lose. Because all they're going to do is laugh at you. David French has won nothing. Nothing.
No.
And he is basically saying, and the fact is that his point of view hurts the people that will listen to it.
David will
not get you anywhere. He has been advising people, be nice, don't fight back. Just he's like Jack Bauer, like don't fight it, except he's not actually strangling you. Someone else is strangling you, and he's telling you not to fight it.
He didn't just not win. He fought against the movement that arose to actually try and win. He fought against, you know, for whatever it is, however it worked out. It didn't work out, I should say. But he was never Trump, and he was on the Russia shit the entire
time.
He's
culturally a limousine liberal. Like, if you look at his background.
He's a fraud.
He's adopted, like, four black kids or something like that.
So, by the way, I was right. Sohab Amrari is a Catholic convert.
Okay.
Moved to the States from Iran when he was 13. And I don't know, it doesn't say when he converted, but he's a Roman Catholic now.
All right. Well, he could have been a Catholic in Iran. That's where he got the hell out.
No, it says convert. Right. Well, he wrote a book about his conversion called From Fire by Water.
So he's bringing in like Zoroastrian themes.
I guess so.
Which
apparently, which according to our commenters means he's banging his grandmother. So we can't convert to Zoroastrianism because apparently they have a severe like inbreeding like deal.
Well, yeah, that's because like, so few of them.
Well, I mean, like you like have sex with like your grandkids and your kids, and it's just like
I don't think that's in the tenets of the religion, though, is it?
I don't know. The scariest comment on the page from when we were talking about Zoroastrianism. I'm just going to believe it and be like, all right, never mind. I'm not doing Zoroastrianism.
Fine. I'm not recommending Zoroastrianism.
Before we get off in the weeds on that, I'm reading the response from French, and it's making me mad over here. He says, a core tenet of Frenchism is the consistent and unyielding defense of civil liberties, including the civil liberties of your political opponents, both in law and culture. Well, I'm sorry, David. Their civil liberties are the only liberties that are ever fucking defended.
Yeah, really.
Not ours.
Civil liberties of trannies.
What civil liberties is he defending?
Where are my civil liberties, David?
Because he doesn't defend the civil liberties of people on the right. Mm-mm. But it's also like, what does it matter? Like, this is not an issue of civil liberties. This is an issue of who rules. Think
so. Yeah.
This is like, he's getting distracted by, he's like doing the consistent liberty. As long as everyone has free speech,
but
fuck
everyone
that.
Doesn't have free speech. Even so, like, we don't have it. We're like the protecting of civil liberties is supposed to be literally like protecting those of like the dissident or the.
Yeah,
dissenting voices, and they're not. That's
and
the opposite
he's like
happening.
He's saying like
he's still pretending. He's still pretending this like gender bending stuff and all this Jewish stuff that is dissonant. It's not. It's in line with everything that's in power. It's in line with woke capital.
It misses the point on such a level. And the thing with French is like a lot of these people are malicious and are just paid off. I think Claire Lehman is obviously malicious.
Yeah,
but French, it's like
French might just be retarded.
I think he's just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
No, I think that he's culturally a shitlib, and he likes his nice upper class lifestyle, and he's very comfortable in that environment. He wants to protect it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But he means he's not. He should leave politics.
Like, what conservatism does he promote? I mean, what is he into?
What is conservatism?
Superficial conservatism.
I mean, what the fuck is it? I don't even like using that word.
Because yeah,
I can't associate that word with anything that is actually good. So.
I can only associate it with like the ease of conducting like business all around the world.
That's just,
low taxes and regulation and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
I can't really think. Patriotism, but not patriotism too hard, because that would be nationalism. That would be bad.
Well, unless it's really hard in favor of like fighting wars for Israel, then it's good.
Okay, yeah.
You want to be a patriot? Yeah,
French is, in fairness, usually anti-war, but like...
Interesting.
So what?
I'm just trying to figure out like what he even means or cares about. Is he cared about stopping somebody who wanted to put an end to mass immigration in this country? What are the
issues?
He's
totally against immigration.
I assume he's against abortion.
Probably, yeah.
I'm assuming he probably was against gayness, but probably isn't anymore.
No, I doubt
like
he's got
on board with gay marriage and everything's great. I wonder if he was everyone like, as long as you don't shove it down my throat. It's like, well, guess what?
Yeah, well, guess what?
He's definitely okay with the gays because he says, so yes, I do want neutral spaces where Christians and pagans can work side by side. I've helped create those spaces and lived in them alongside Christians and atheists, traditionalists, and LGBT Americans alike.
Wow, good for you.
What a faggot. What a fucking faggot.
I've created space for my enemies to subvert and subsume me. Be proud. Here I stand, the biggest loser, trying to teach you how to lose with me.
This guy makes Sargon look ballsy.
Trick to go to ballsy your own fucking execution.
French. I mean,
I don't even know what to do with this guy.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go. It's like we've been making fun of him for so long,
who reads this and is like, please, the enemy of anybody who he's trying to reach, right?
Oh, imagine if all shitlibs believed like David French. Imagine if the left was like, we would walk all over these people consistently. And this is also how the kosher sandwich works, because Claire Lehman doesn't really want conservatives to win or the right to win. And David French, David French is, I think, inherently
how you win.
I think David French is
which
like
means you lose
inherently a cuck, right? He's just a natural cuck, right? Like that's just who he is, and he's exactly who they put out there as here's how you should think and live and emulate, right? So of course, when somebody comes in is like, no, we should stand up for our values and fight for them,
yeah,
and try to gain control of institutions and undermine their institutions, which is how you do political warfare. Right, that's how you do it. You stand up forthrightly for your values.
There should be,
and you attack enemy institutions, and you build up your own. That's what you do.
Let's just for as an example, there should be a movement from the right. The normie right should be all over. This is an easy one. You should not be just trying to stop story time drag queen story time hour. Like the institutions that go to host them, there should be a campaign to shut them down, close them, destroy them. Like, it shouldn't just be, we stopped this one, guys, we did it, Reddit. It should be, like, if we fought like the left, if the right fought like the left, I said we, I mean the more mainstream right, the Shapiro.
No, you could do that, too. I know exactly how you could do it. A lot of these places, they get their funding locally, and you could just
You guys are doing it wrong. Here, listen. Drag Queen Storytime is run by a nonprofit organization called Drag Queen Storytime. They're the ones that book these, they provide, mm-hmm. they... They corral all the drag queens. They get in contact with local libraries and try and book the events. That that institution needs to be investigated for all kinds of financial
fraud.
Stuff?
But I'm,
like,
I'm
we need to
like
go through their 501c3 certification. We need to get all their paperwork. We need to find any little financial crime that they've committed or one that we make it up and we take them down. Yep. We destroy that organization. And that's how you do
it. But the other level is also you attack anybody who is willing to do business with them.
Yes.
Any Barnes & Noble store, any Borders. I don't think there's any Borders anymore.
If you know of parents... that are taking their kids?
They should be shamed. They
you
should
put
be publicly
flyers
humiliated.
Around their neighborhood. These parents are exposing their children to child molesters.
Yep. There should be campaigns to ruin people that go along with this
Absolutely.
And try to promote it. It should be that's what the Jews would do. That's what the left would do.
I admire the Christians that went and they stood occupied space. That's got to be part of a larger strategy though. And a strategy has to be going after the nonprofit. Yep. Going after the libraries that host, going after the job of the librarian that hosts, that agrees to it, and going after the parents that take their kids to it.
Go after the second cousins of the parents that take their kids to it.
Yeah.
That's what they would do.
Yeah.
No stone on every acquaintance that you ever had.
Yeah. And we should have a media outlet that does something like publishes an article about a parent that takes their kid to Drag Queen Storytime and tells where the low-key... Somebody mentions, we wouldn't do it. I would never do anything like this. But, you put their picture and their name out there, what town they live in. Yeah. You wouldn't say any more than that. I'm not encouraging any action, but somebody's probably then going to go and find out where they work and call their employer and say,
Are you comfortable, Mr. Employer?
Are you comfortable with this guy that is taking their children and exposing them to child predators? Are you comfortable with that? I mean, is that okay with you?
It's gone really far, too.
You know what I find kind of interesting?
I mean, that's how you do it. That's how you do these things. Mm-hmm. Then suddenly you're going to find they'll be the ones hiding in Discord servers. Like, I don't know what. Should we try and do one privately where no one can see it?
Yeah.
You know? Yes.
You have a private Drag Queen Storytime private.
I don't even want to know. Don't even do that. I want you to be too afraid to do that.
Mm. If the right uses a left-wing technique, tactics. Suddenly that tactic is immoral.
Yeah. And suddenly David French,
according to the right.
Well, that's what happened. That's the space that David, I mean, this everybody should have been familiar with this long ago. That is the space David French occupies. That is where he is, and he's not the only one. He's just one of the more egregious examples. That's the space that these people occupy. That is their job. And Claire Lehman considers it her job to, despite the fact that she's intellectual dark web, runs Quillette, and all this bullshit, Quillette is, it's just doubling down on that. It's like Quillette is like, it's this intellectual dark web shit. Mm. It's like, it's riffing off of that dark enlightenment bullshit from years ago where it's like all of a sudden people saw
it's IQ, all about roads and trains.
People saw like an IQ stat chart and they were like, whoa, this really alters my worldview.
Mm.
And then they became like, they started doing all this NRX stupid shit. And like that the end result of that is like this intellectual dark web crap. But it's like, what are these people? They're Jews that are talking about, like, what are they even talking about? I don't even know what they're talking about. What do they even represent? I mean, Ben Shapiro, we know what he represents, but he was glommed onto that later. It's really more of like the Sam Harris and Dave Rubin types, but what are they about? First of all, Dave Rubin is a fucking Jewish faggot. Sam Harris is, I don't think he's gay, but he's Jewish and a faggot, but I don't think he's actual homosexual like Dave Rubin is. I mean, these people just all suck.
These guys want like cool leftist atheism to be like equally applied like also to Islam. They want stuff like that. Like it's like, oh well, you're so brave. Yes. You're talking down Christianity. Shit. Why don't you also do this to Islam? And they mean that. They like
that's really the. I mean, Ben Shapiro is just straight up hardcore Zionist, right?
Right.
I'm sure that Sam Harris doesn't identify himself that way, but Sam Harris is like,
sure he would go on.
Oh, let's Sam Harris is like, all right, here's Sam Harris. Sam Harris is like, we should apply the atheist critique to Islam as well as Christianity, I'm willing to maybe believe that there's research that would show that black people aren't as smart as white people, but I don't think people should do that kind of research, even though I'm willing to accept it if it exists.
And they're basically against... They're against...
You went on Dave Rubin's show and did a whole interview where that was essentially the gist of it. He's like, well, The question is, if it's like, I would believe it because I believe science, but why would you ever do that? There are things we shouldn't find out. So I'm like, whoa, this guy's fucking edgy. This guy's like right on the cusp of like something.
They also want to, they want to stop trans women from competing in women's sports. Like, they're not shy about that. They'll fight the good fight on.
I mean,
women being humiliated by men in drag, powerlifting. You know, hundreds of pounds.
I think we need to double down on that. Punch women.
I think women's sports should be completely destroyed by trans women. I think that's the better route.
Because eventually what's going to happen is it's like why should women do sport? This is actually good.
Basically,
why should
women
do sports? They can't.
They shouldn't.
They're going to lose because there's going to be a boy that pretends he's a girl. And he's just going to win everything.
Fucking load up every women's sport with dudes in dresses. I mean, it can be done.
It's being done. High school level.
Oh my god!
At the high school level, girls are still. And it's funny because they put these black. Not only guys, but like black guys, and you know, blacks are very fast runners. They're very fleet of foot.
Beast.
If you train them well, but certainly black girls aren't because they're all obese. So black girls can't run for shit. But you get these younger black teenagers, and boy, these guys can run and leap, and yeah, they're excellent runners. So they're running like track, right? So if you're a girl doing like high school track. What's the point?
Yeah.
He's going to be a fucking trans black kid that's just going to blow you away in every fucking event. So
I saw a story about this, and what is really mind-boggling is just the audacity, because they'll lose in the male division, and then they'll transfer to the female division and start dominating. Couldn't cut it as a dude, so let me go
now
transfer
I'm a girl.
To this other division.
It's brutal.
Wipe out.
So they talk about stuff like that. They do a lot of creedal posting.
Creedal, yeah, they're very
like Western. If they talk about Western civilization, it's creedal, and anybody can
That's
join
very
it.
Creedal.
Anybody can. And the problem is, like, people of all races who are against the creed.
And in my opinion,
God, remember God Saad? He has this like same.
Oh God!
He has this story. Every time he does an interview, he has a story about a certain kind of mouse.
The Saad truth.
The Saad truth. Like there's a mouse that they in a lab developed some genetic mutation where it would no longer like be averse to some stimulus that is supposed to make these things scared and run away. And so it's like, so what do you think happens to the mouse? It gets eaten by this, gets destroyed by this predator threat that normally it would run away from. And that's essentially what has happened to Western civilization, where we've adapted a mutation where we don't run from
people like you, God?
Yeah, exactly. From Jews like you.
God Saad is not a Jew. God Saad
he's
is
a Lebanese. No, he's Lebanese or something. He's a
one of these.
I thought he wasn't either, and then I looked it up one day. I was like, oh shit,
is he actually a Jew?
He's Jewish.
Oh, wow. I thought he was a Christian Persian or some kind of Levantine.
He's an Arab Jew.
I thought he was some kind of Levantine Christian.
I mean, those do exist. I'm not saying they don't. Really?
Yeah, born to a Jewish family.
Oh, there you
immigrated
go.
From Damascus, Syria.
Syrian, that's what it was. Syrian.
Yeah, this guy's a fucking Jew. Holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't think he was at first either, and then one day I got curious about it, and I was like, oh shit.
Look at him. He actually looks really Jewy.
He has a huge nose, but that's why
I thought he would be an Arab.
That's what I thought he was just a
God Saad.
God Saad.
The Saad truth.
I don't know.
But all right, so...
But they effectively, like, rein in people that... To keep it from going too edgy, you know.
They rein in the fucking controlled opposition pundits that they've got.
Well, if you've got an itch,
they rein in their Gentile pundits.
The Gentile pundits. That's what we should rename this show.
I'm thinking of like the Joe Rogan. I'm thinking of like the Joe Rogan audience, though. It's a sizable group of people, and they're basically what they do is they desire something more mentally stimulating than like Hannity. You're a great American.
Yeah,
and they think they found it in this weird little because they do dress up everything they say like in you know there's a lot of window dressing on their statements and in their in their prose in their choices of words. It seems like you're digesting like a big intellectual concepts when you're actually just not. It's just basically be a more consistent liberal than the liberals. Own the left by being better than they are.
That's exactly right. So the opposition, the controlled opposition, is really doubling down on the principles that got you to liberalism in the first place. And the whole thing of like, and look, we've criticized this ever since we came into being. Like Gavin McGinnis was doing this. Like when Emily Yukis couldn't get Gavin to say the 14 words with white.
Yeah, Gavin's not really like intellectual though. He's just kind of.
No, but he was in that group. But the thing is, the problem with McGinnis is they got rid of him because one, he was white, and he He created the Proud Boys, who, once you get a group of young men together, this kind of shit goes out the window. Uh-huh. And they became like, you know, it's like, you can't have, like, this stuff is supposed to make people less active, and Proud Boys were becoming more active, right? And so that became, okay, we got to destroy this. So then, yeah, like, his own people, I'm quite sure that whole thing at the Metropolitan Republican Club, where the Proud Boys got ambushed by Antifa and then they all went to jail, I think the Republican Party helped set that whole thing up. In fact, I'm quite sure of it. But I wanted to pivot from here to exactly another perfect example of, like, a God-sod type, but it's not God-sod. It's Majid Nawaz. And this has to do with what John Cleese said the other day. Uh-huh. So we should engage with what we're doing, because I know you're looking for something.
Yeah, the John Cleese thing is interesting in itself.
Yeah, you're not going to find it.
I was trying to find some intellectual dark web relevant post in this group.
Yeah, well, let's...
Because I'm in a Jordan Peterson group, and, like...
Oh, God. Yeah.
I was just going to read, like, the kind of minds these people had, the things that they type out. It's just
fucking
like...
New York Times has an entire article about this one tweet.
About John Cleese?
Yeah.
Well, so does The Guardian, and so does everything else. But I want to talk about Majid Nawaz's response, because remember, when Sergen said on that video we did about him that Majid Nawaz is perhaps the most English thinker that he knows, or the most typically English thinker that he knows. Now, remember, Majid Nawaz got famous because he was an Islamist. He was a hardcore, like Salafist, Wahhabist, and then he converted to become a liberal, and then he started critiquing that kind of Islam, mm-hmm. and then he got called out as a Muslim hater by the SPLC. Now, he actually won money from them.
Sued, right? Yeah.
He actually won money from them, but that's because he's perfect controlled opposition. So he's so Sargon, but then he's like bait for intellectual dark web, because he's exactly the exactly what they're talking about. But they only ever have these outlier Naxalts. But even so, he's a fucking liar. So he responds to this Cleese comment. So years ago, Cleese says, what happened? You remember, we talked about this. What happened to the English people? I'm in London and there's no English people anymore. And so people got on his case about that. But then yesterday, I think it was Wednesday, Cleese tweets out just randomly, I opined years ago that London was no longer an English city, and I've been talking to my friends abroad and they agree. And so it's like, it's pretty funny.
He's talking to, like, Eric Idle.
Yes, he's trying to like Eric Idle and Michael Palin, and they also agree that London is no longer
London
English.
London is no longer English.
London. He's like, look, John, you can't say London is in English, John.
He's not friends with Michael Caine.
No, but I'm saying Michael Caine is now berating John Cleese.
He can't
look,
say that,
John. You can't say that, John.
It's not funny, John.
It's not. It's racist, John.
It's racist.
John, it's racist.
London is
Look,
for everybody.
Don't pretend that London
is for everybody.
London isn't white, John.
Sadiq
it's not
Khan.
Just for whites, John. It's a European hub, John. And it's old. It's not just 1,600 years old. It was just 1,600 years old.
It's just 1,600
it's
years
just
old.
600. It's actually older than that, but that's... It's actually...
16 is the line, though, so we just have to say it.
It was just... Look, we're not in the 1600s, John.
You know what? I haven't tried to do an Eric Idle. I don't remember how to do Eric Idle.
Dude, this is too many British people.
You just have to sort of... No. I better stick with Michael Palin.
Always look on the bright
Welcome
side
to
of life.
London. It's no longer an English city.
I just did Eric Idle. You missed it. That was pretty good.
Caine also, Michael Caine did vote for Brexit, both him and Cleese. That is interesting. They're both basically right wing.
Well, they're older British. I don't think. See, Brexit doesn't. The thing is, Brexit gave all. The Brexit Party and Nigel Farage gave all kinds of liberal cover for voting for Brexit. So that's part of the issue here. So I'm looking right at the camera now just to freak everyone out. Sorry. That's actually really weird. I looked at. Looking right at the fucking
I love this quote from the BBC too. Like, I looked at the map and England is still in the UK. I think that makes it English, right? The geographical location.
Well, this is Majid Nawaz saying this. So in response to Cleese, fucking of course, like Sadiq Khan. He comes out and he says, like, England, London is the British capital. a European hub and a global city or something like that, some shit like that. Basically, globalism incarnate. And that's Sadiq. That's Madik Khan.
Madik.
So Madik Nawaz comes out and he says, London is majority English statistically. Not majority white English, but majority English. It's also a city based in the country of England. It is therefore English. To declare it not English by observation alone, curiously while living abroad, is to lament its racial diversity. Like Scotland and Wales, England is a country. If you're born in the country of England, you're English. If you're white, you could be Anglo-Saxon, but not all English people are Anglo-Saxon. Like being Scottish or Welsh simply means being from Scotland or Wales. So here we have exactly the deracination of European national identity in a nutshell, being done by a liberal, a conservative, but consistently liberal Arab. Or I think he's whatever, Pakistan, whatever the fuck he is.
They're trying to do like, they're trying to like birth certificate nationalism now?
Literally birth certificate nationalism. Write that down, Jamie. That's like a good, that's
paperwork,
a good
paperwork, show Trump's title. Paperwork Trump's DNA.
Yes. But he goes on. He goes on.
Your essential identity is just determined by your geographical location.
Yeah, but that's basic, bitch. Majid Nawaz tries to go further.
Michael.
Majid.
Wherever you fell out.
Majid, you've got to be less liberal. It doesn't matter.
Wherever your mother decided to have an abortion. Majid. That's what ethnicity you are.
You've got to school these right-wingers, these racists. It doesn't matter. The populist identitarian right. I heard that their racial identity is being denied.
I'm trying to block Alex
here. I'm not arguing. There's no Anglo-Saxon ethnicity.
Nor
denying a white race.
No.
But England is a country. Stop being race baiters. Bruce.
You're white.
Stop being race baiters.
You mean English, not
John,
white.
John, you're acting like a populist identitarian, John. You've got to stop, John. John, it's the left. I know you hate the left, John. But stop being a populist identitarian. Destroying England, John.
Race doesn't matter, John.
Ultimately.
Matter.
Ultimately. I'm reading these Majid Nawaz tweets like Michael Caine. Ultimately, race is an arbitrary social construct, John. Most conversations around race.
We were supposed to be doing this about Chernobyl.
But we're doing it about John Cleese.
This is what Russians sound like, John. There's no way a reactor could melt down, John.
Let me read the tweet, Sven. Let me read the tweet, Sven.
Why should I let you read the tweet? Tell me one good thing that's ever come from you reading a tweet on this program.
Look. The program. This is the program we read tweets. We read tweets, Sven.
Michael.
Look, John. Sven.
I like to watch. You want to read tweets. I want to watch videos, Michael. Do visceral reactions.
We've got to read
Ben
the tweets,
Sven. Okay.
The tweets are important.
I'm ready to hear the tweets.
All right. Ultimately, race is an arbitrary social construct, John. Most conversations around race, even well-intended, involve the originally sinister one-drop rule. A mixed-race person rarely calls themselves white, but regularly says black. This is all politics, and can't and should evolve, John.
No, it doesn't.
You can't stop being a populist identitarian, John.
It should be enforced, not evolved.
In essence.
It shouldn't evolve.
In essence, race don't really matter, John. Except when it matters. This is when it is weaponized.
Wait,
did
he say except when it matters?
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Hey. I thought you were sticking that in there for fun.
No, listen. God damn it,
writer.
This is the best tweet.
I know, it threw me off because I thought you were interjecting that for fun.
This is the best
in
tweet.
In essence, John, race doesn't really matter.
Except Michael,
when it matters.
Majid Kane.
Be specific and angry for the rest of this tweet, Michael.
I'm going to be, it's very specific, it's very much just like that, on the nose. I'm going to be Majid
this
Kane.
This is when it
this
is
Majid Kane.
Weaponized and or politicized.
If
weaponized to oppress, we should empathize with the underdog.
Empathize
with the underdog. If politicized, we should empathize with reason. It's not really a it's
a
really
thing.
Not a thing. Except when we make it a thing. John.
I wanted to do a thing and empathize
thing.
So bad.
Empathize, John.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
That's today's show.
Show title.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's how we both knew it as soon as I said it. That had to be the show.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing, John.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing, John.
Bruce.
You're being a populist identitarian,
Somebody's fucking saying in the comments that we should, we need to somehow work Cantwell into the fucking Michael Caine bit here. So I don't know.
I think Cantwell's been worked into too many things recently. Apparently. According to some. But, all right, so I said that, first of all, Majid Nawaz, then he says this,
in the long run.
Okay, oh boy, it gets even worse. This, Majid Caine. We're going to keep doing Majid Caine. In the long run, we should aspire to a society, where we protect the planet, stop the industrial breeding of animals, for food.
What? Why?
I'm guilty. What the fuck is he talking about?
I want to eat, though, John.
Yeah, but
I'm hungry.
Look, Majid.
We
eat meat in England. All
we
right,
eat meat we all eat over beef. The world.
Beef Wellington, Majid.
We need to stop. We need to stop the industrial breeding of wogs, Majid. Yeah. That's what we need to do, John.
You know,
fewer brown people breeding. Less non-Gentile organizations
stop
making
war.
Sure that Africans don't die in infancy like they're supposed to, yeah. John. Yes. Industrial breeding of new and unidentified bacteria in gay men's rectums. That's what we need to stop.
Oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
We need to stop breeding the people who like to go and eat that. That's a phenomenon. Go visit the subway in New York City, Majid.
Or people that...
That's where they do that.
All right.
Hey, talk about it.
All right. In the long run.
Wogs eating ass and creating
we
new
should
bacteria.
Aspire to a society
that doesn't
where we
eat
protect
ass.
The planet.
Protect the planet.
Stop the industrial breeding of animals for food. I'm guilty. Stop war. Eliminate poverty and wage slavery. Embrace reason and science. Evolve beyond dogma. See ourselves as a human race.
Where is this science? This is all faith-based moralizing
I know,
bullshit.
It is,
there's
it
no
is bullshit.
Science
it is
to
bullshit.
This. This all is right. Like, I have my utopian idea of how I want the world to be, and we need to fucking like pray really hard that it comes true by fucking reciting this catechism about industrial animal just, breeding for food? Like
that's a distraction. Don't even let that take you down a rabbit hole.
But it's just stupid. Like, this is what I mean by, like, oh, this is something, like, I desire something a little more, something more I can chew on intellectually before I just have these ideas about what it should be. And that's, like, a fake intellectual dark web thing there. You go through it, like, oh, wow.
Majid Nawaz is, like, that's perfectly embracing intellectual dark web.
Yes.
Here he says, before people start with a straw man, I am a critic of multiculturalism.
No, you're fucking not.
Just wait.
Just want to make it better. You think you can make it better by being more creedal or something.
Well, just listen to what he says. I aspire to multiracial, omnicultural society in which secular liberal humanist values reign. I also believe these values are worth robustly defending against any ideas that seek to undermine them. And I'm like, all right, Majid.
Where's your church
if
at?
If you don't like multiculturalism, why is your name in like three different fucking languages on your Twitter? I actually tweeted that, and his tweet has like 340 likes. I retweeted it saying that, and I got like 600 likes on that tweet.
Yeah.
Like, I blew this guy out of the fucking water. Just with that, also, you can see my little reply right there.
Why is your name listed in multiple languages?
But, like, it's... Dude, fuck this guy. This is Sargon. This is the guy that Sargon... This was the guy that Sargon uses as his example... Against that guy that was talking about identity policy. Remember that? He's like, Majid Nawaz is the most English thinker I know.
He's not. Well, maybe
this guy
he
is. Well, look, the other thing
I mean, what gets more utopian is, like, I'm against he's basically saying, I'm against the multiculturalism that sucks.
Right.
I aspire towards a pie-in-the-sky utopian version that's unattainable, but I'm going to keep praying for it. That's what he's saying here.
But you got to also remember,
he's basically saying what we used to say before, you admit you're racist. Like, well, or sometimes you say this as a racist, like, boy, I wish the liberals were right, but they're just wrong. And this guy's saying, he's not wrong. He's saying, like, they're wrong now, but we can fix it. Like, that's what he's saying.
Of course, it's in his interest to fight this identitarianism, or identitarianism, whatever.
Did you say identitarianism?
Yeah. I have no comment there. I said identitarianism, whatever you want to.
Populist identitarianism. Populist identitarianism.
But, like, of course, that's in his interest to fight against it because he's not fucking English. Not fucking white.
You're not English, Majid.
And this whole, like, we've already dispensed with this bullshit of, like, we're English, we're not white. Shut up, Sargon. Like, English people happily call themselves white. At least the guys on our side, and they're not selling out in any way.
Because this guy's talking about being English is just your birth certificate.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you were born.
So you have to make that decision.
That means you're English.
Right?
You have to say white because there's been a pervasive movement out there.
For all of you out there that don't like it, all of you European national identitarianists, which is fine, understand. White becomes meaningful when you fill your country with brown people.
Bugs.
If you wanted English to be an English thing where you didn't have to talk about also being members of the white race, which you are,
you would kick this guy out of the country and stop saying he's the most English thing you're talking about.
Then you would remove Majid Nawaz and not let him talk like this about your ethnic group. And then we had this conversation on Twitter with this Brexit Party account, where the guy was like, so can a black person be Chinese?
No.
And the guy was like, of course no. Not. And he's like, well, Chinese and ethnicity. He's like, so, he said, can a white person be Chinese? And the guy was like, no. And he's like, all right, well, why not? He's like, well, Chinese and ethnicity. Bro, it's also a fucking country, right?
Right.
And he's like, so then can a black person be English? And he's like, well, what is English? It's a language. That's what the guy said. English is a language.
Oh,
and
man.
He's like, Chinese, and then the guy says, like, language. And then the guy finally corners the guy. He's like, look, you said a white person can't be Chinese. I want to know if a black person can be English.
I'm not going to tell you.
The guy said, I won't tell you. That's because you're just dealing with a moron, though. Like, that account is just a moron. That's just a political Brexit Party account that's just out there to pin. But this is the absolute state of Brexit Party.
You don't think that guy is just bailing because of his cognitive dissonance and wasn't smart enough to just not answer?
He did not answer.
But he answered saying he's not going to answer.
Yeah, no, that guy's dumb. Like, there's no question. But I'm saying that's like intellectual dark web right there.
Yeah.
that guy's like a perfect representative of the intellectual dark web. I'm not telling you.
Yeah, I'm not telling you.
Hard question asked, I'm not telling you. What we're going to do is the intellectual dark web is we're going to go on each other's internet shows and interview each other and lob each other softballs.
We're going to talk about how crazy SJWs are.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about how the SJWs are actually undermining the very secular humanist liberal values they seek. to uphold. That's the intellectual dark web. All they do, they go on each other's TV shows or internet shows, YouTube shows, and interview each other and just repeat their talking points back to each other and just stroke each other off. Fucking stupid. Who is it? Sam Harris, Jordan Peters is one of the few Gentiles. Sam Harris.
Steven Pinker.
Dave Rubin, Ben Shapiro. All these guys, majority Jewish and totally controlled by Jews, and significantly majority Jewish, and then people just stroking each other off, just fanning each other's nuts.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's really shitty. And this stuff about... Majid Nawaz has an interest in promoting this because he doesn't want to get kicked out of England. But this is also why, like...
be England.
This is also kind of an example, like, I'd rather deal with a person of color that was an identitarian for their own race than, like, a Majid Nawaz. He's more...
It's always been like that.
Like, I like a black nationalist type. Like, I like a Pastor Manning or, like, a Louis Farrakhan far more than I would ever like a Majid Nawaz, right?
Yeah, black nationalists and white nationalists have had conversations in the past because they can agree on, most subjects.
We can agree on almost everything. We agree on the Jews. We agree that black people and white people don't really get along, and when you put them next to each other, it doesn't end well. So these people we can sit down and talk with. But Majid Nawaz, it's like, dude, your entire project is literally... And the thing is, it's a stalling tactic as well. That's the other thing, like... The world that will be created by people, white people, believing Majid Nawaz and seeing him as the outlier and the example will not be the world Majid Nawaz is painting a picture of you for. Painting a picture for you. Whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean. You get what I mean.
I'm with you.
He's painting a picture, but it's only ever going to be a picture. It's not going to be real.
Right.
Trying to run the clock out.
In reality, you're going to have that blue-haired SJW stomping on your neck forever. And when she stops stomping on your neck, you're going to have to try and make your way back to your house, avoiding the machetes of all the Africans. So, like, you know, that's the reality that's going to come of this world that Majid Nawaz is telling you not to fight against. So he just serves the purpose of just, like, just get the fuck out of here. Your value system, there is no point now, right now, where we are politically, where we return to this sort of colorblind secular humanist liberalism, which could have existed if we had kept the country 90% white with some minorities and outliers. That could have existed. But it can't exist now because they're pushing. They're pushing us beyond that point. A United States falling, dropping below 60% white, which, boy, those 2020 census numbers are going to be a shocker, is not something, particularly with no white identity politics and non-white identity politics ascendant, and the only fight against this being this weak secular humanist liberalism, you guys are undermining it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's
disavow identity politics. We're all in this together, right?
They're not going to. Why should they?
Well, that's the other thing the intellectual dark web does.
It's yeah, like, and see, we're and better than this. This like, is why no, it's so clear. Well, that's just like, yeah. That's like saying we're better than this. Like, I'm going to keep using battle metaphors.
Yeah.
It's like as your opponent is storming the barricades and killing your comrades, someone comes up to you as you're about to kill one of the enemy soldiers, about to stab him. He's like, look, we're better than killing people, right? As your fort is getting stormed by enemy troops. It's like, okay.
You shouldn't use
I don't want to kill people, but look, what am I supposed to do?
I mean, we should be better than them and just use bare hands.
Yeah.
Just
you use like... Use
bare
like,
knuckle boxing.
Yeah, use kung fu.
Yeah.
No, don't use blades and
a real
weapons.
A man doesn't need a gun.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing.
No, dude, this is literally... The intellectual dark web is literally a real man doesn't need a gun, the political movement. Right? And they're hoping that they...
Just like a walk to bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. So, yeah. Are we done on the first
one? Yeah, we'll take a break and we got suicidal solidarity. And then, Michael, we have to talk about...
Got more Michael
Caine. We have to talk about Chernobyl.
But why?
Because everyone in Russia talks like Michael Caine. Reactor, Michael. A reactor can't possibly explode. It's impossible. That's not graphite, Michael. That's burned,
but burned concrete.
It was a steam explosion.
Okay.
It wasn't a fission. It wasn't a fissile explosion, Michael. It was steam pressure.
That makes sense.
But it blew reactor material everywhere.
Yeah, it contaminated. Yeah.
It contaminated Sweden, Michael. That's how bad it was.
And so you've been watching that show.
And bureaucrat gang couldn't handle it. I have funny bants, aside from the fact that, once again, everyone on the show that takes place in a foreign country is bloody English.
Yeah.
Why is everyone English?
Because that's
bloody,
what you imagine
Russia.
When you think of foreign countries.
It makes the show have gravitas, McNabb. When you talk like this, Americans take it more seriously. This really happened in history. It's a historical event, McNabb. So we have to talk like that. What kind of capture is that? Jesus.
Oh, it's a joke.
Okay, it's a meme. Sucked all the squares with white people. I was like, whoa. He threw me off my Michael. What's that? So what's that right there? What's on your screen there? I was doing it really great. I was doing good on my Michael Caine, and I saw your meme.
I thought we were going to break.
We're
I started
going
to look
break,
at my computer.
I started doing the voice.
All right. I was just going to let you run that bit.
I seem to be doing okay. Well, it works better when you interact with me.
You want me to do Michael Caine as well?
Or whatever that voice is, yes.
Look, I'm doing the broken Michael
Caine. The broken Michael Caine.
Look, the reactor exploded.
The reactor exploded.
It wasn't supposed to be possible.
It's not possible, Michael.
I thought it was a steam.
Therefore, it didn't happen. It's a steam.
I can't believe
it. It never happened before, but the steam pressure.
The reactor was just 16
years old. Explosion. It was just 16 years old. It was like 16 months old.
Just 16 months old.
It was reactor number 4. It was the newest one in Chernobyl. It's a new one. We're all British here. This is a Ukraine.
That'll give me a good opportunity to go into how environmentalism is literally all a Jewish trick. But we can do that next hour.
Well, I mean, everything's a Jewish trick, Michael.
This is a particularly bad one.
They're all particularly bad. That's how
you would be left thinking that hydroelectric power is better than nuclear power.
Oh, God. Well, they don't want that either, right? God forbid you build a dam, Michael.
Look, I don't want to ruin the bit. Let's just go to break already. Jesus Christ.
All the little critters running around. They won't have a helm anymore because you put up a dam and drowned him. Where are they supposed to go, Michael? It's not like deer can sense an ecological catastrophe and run away to go live somewhere else. Like every time there's a tidal wave in some godforsaken fucking... Well, they're not deer, but you know what I mean. All the fucking wild stray cats that they turn into chop suey run for higher ground when there's a tidal wave approaching.
Whenever you go to break, I'm ready.
Stalling because I didn't have the going to break drop loaded into the program. Into the program. Right. Don't worry, Michael. You'll be right back.
You're listening to TDS on the Right Stuff. Dot biz. Recital solidarity. Recital solidarity.
The kid who egged patriotic Australian Senator Fraser Anning has given his online donations from cucks to Muslims in Christchurch. Gangster rapper Eazy-E has been memorialized with a park bench in the small English town of New Haven for some fucking reason. And British actor John Cleese is criticized by brown London Mayor Sadiq Khan for pointing out that London isn't an English city anymore. In cooperation with Graf Rudolph, this is Trent Holmgren with Suicidal Solidarity. Old John Cleese has made such spicy comments before, even though he's quick to downplay the notion that his comments have anything to do with race. Not that we blame him, he's 79 years old and would not survive whatever absurd prison sentence he would receive for stating that London has just too much racial diversity. Sadiq Khan responded by saying that
Londoners know that our diversity is the greatest strength. We are proudly the English capital, a European city, and a global hub.
Okay, retard, boomers and NPCs might fall for that one-liner, but literally no one else does. Mayor Khan is not the only brown person causing a stir in the UK. As usual, a science lecturer at the UK's University of Essex has lost his job after a bit of anti-Semitism sparked by the formation of a campus Jewish society. Society! Society! Concerns were raised at the university over Facebook posts by Dr. Maruf Ali, which were alleged to have included Holocaust denial, opposition to the creation of a Jewish society at the university in February, and conspiracy theories about Zionism. Oh, God! Not that! Mr. Ali denied being anti-Semitic or denying the Holocaust and said his vote against the society has been against the ideology of Zionism. Smooth play, Mr. Ali, but any response to Jewish ethnocentrism that isn't shitting all over yourself in boundless joy and screaming your undying support is illegal in the UK and in Europe, you big fucking dummy! In general Euro news this week, Europeans across the continent and the UK voted in the EU parliamentary elections. Each country voted separately to send their flavor of cuck bureaucrats to Brussels, where their national political power and identities are slowly being sold off to both the lowest and the highest bidders. Unless, of course, you're part of the elite crowd which voted for one of the patriotic nationalist parties in the European Alliance of People and Nations, headed by Italian Interior Minister Matteo Salvini, which got 35 seats. And for anyone reading the box score at home, that's out of a total of 751. So do the math. Farage's party, the Europe of Freedom and Direct Democracy Party, had a good showing, holding a total of 54 seats, despite observers expecting the party to crap out because of Brexit. I'm sure the Europa Report did a deep dive into this election, so we're not going to blather on about it too much, and all you need to know is that the cucks are mad, despite it being the milquetoast election for milquetoast parliament. Outgoing head Eurocuck Jean-Claude Juncker said Europeans who prefer their own countries over a bloated, bureaucratic, globalist, faggot nightmare headquartered in Belgium are stupid. He continued,
"In some countries in the European Union, a major part of society doesn't like people coming from far away. I do like those coming from far away because the main guiding principle of the European Union should be solidarity. We have to act in solidarity with those who are in a worse situation than we are in."
You heard it straight from the horse's mouth. The European Union is about solidarity with brown people, not Europeans. Still think the EU isn't that bad? The application of the Hungarian city of Okay, new bit. This is where I spell something and you assholes try to pronounce it. Ready? S-Z-E with a faggy accent. K-E-S-F-E-H-E with a faggy accent. R-V-A with a faggy accent. R. to be selected as the next European Union's capital of culture was rejected because its film's submission was propaganda for white Christian Europe, in which everyone is white, happy, and dancing in the streets, according to an EU official. Didn't the Hungarians even listen to Sadiq fucking Khan? Clearly, the next European capital of culture needs to have as few Europeans and as little European culture as possible. They should just have rejected the Hungarian city's application outright because of the name. It's fucking dumb, but they have to be openly anti-white these days. Over in Germany, things are, well, you know. German Chancellor Angela Merkel told a crowd of invaders in Berlin that Germany's continued success depends on how successfully it manages immigration and integration. Nothing about that sentiment is actually false. It's just funny coming from her frumpy ass, considering that her immigration policy is ruining Germany and integration in a pipe dream. The new Merkel, Annegret Kramp Karrenbauer, is in hot water because she and her party, the Boomer Conservatives and the CDU, got banned by a German YouTuber for not focusing on the poor and climate change more, and instead of calling the guy a gay retard like she should have. Her response was to call for a debate on whether publicly expressed opinions should be regulated in time periods before elections. Okay, Anne, we know that freedom of speech in Germany is a euphemism for Jew propaganda, but your suggestion was bound to get German leftists nervous about actually having their opinions scrutinized, even though we all know that such regulation would only be used against patriotic Germans. Oh, and a German high school in the city of Lage was banning students from wearing camouflage clothing, claiming it would harm refugee children traumatized by war. Solidarity with brown people! All right, last news out of Europe, and we'll make it a white pill. The French Senate has voted to reject plans for rebuilding Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, put forward by the French executive, including President Emmanuel Macron, who wanted an inventive reconstruction, like a front hole, a.k.a. a huge oscillating dildo monument to Moloch, and mandated that the work must be traditional. And the Jews are mad. Probably. The BBC had the nerve to publish an article titled, "Why Are Some Places Gay-Friendly and Not Others?" As if we don't already know, the hook-nosed hand-rubbing, chicken-swinging, penny-pinching, bad-smelling, nation-ruining, baby-penis-sucking, hair-lock-curling, oy-vang answer to that fucking question! They use South Korea as a prime example, where 21% more people said that homos should be accepted in 2013 compared to 2007. Did you guys know that South Korea had so many Jews? Neither did we. The article says that reasons are often linked to three factors: economic development, democracy, and religion, or the lack of the latter. Either way, the intrusion of Western globo homo culture into the East is more insidious than we know. Yikes! Who says yikes anymore? I say yikes! Yikes! All right, get out of here!
Wow.
I was so enthralled by his yelling and screaming, I forgot to pay attention to the timer on it.
Yeah.
Trent Holmgren on fire.
So I actually don't think Claire Lehman is Jewish.
We're going to do this now.
I just want to issue the correction.
But another show where you're absolutely sure that somebody's Jewish and then he's not? At least we're catching it mid-show.
Well, look, it doesn't matter. Like, her name is Lehman. It's a very Jewish name.
I'm more interested
in
the
debate
surrounding her ethnicity. I think that's going to be more fascinating.
Well, look, I don't want to have that be a point that can be used against me. So if I made a mistake, so I'm covering it. But the thing is this. I went on the assumption that a woman named Claire Lehman, who runs Quillette Magazine, is published in Commentary, Tablet, The Rebel, and basically... runs a controlled opposition intellectual dark web journal where she allows people to gripe about political correctness, but will also keep them from going towards white identity politics, and where she, you know, amplifies, you know, hacks like Nathan Koffness, won't let Kevin McDonald, she'll publish Nathan Koffness, but she won't allow Kevin McDonald to defend himself. You know, I just assumed she was Jewish. But actually getting a better look at her, her nose is big, but it's not a Jewish nose. Doesn't really matter.
The big teeth.
Yeah, well, look, there are white women that have horse faces, all right? Like, let's be honest. She's just a horse face, probably of German descent. Doesn't matter. it doesn't change from the role that she occupies on the political spectrum. So there it is. Yeah.
Sounds good. I'm with you.
I mean, look at what she's doing. She also jumps right in. I mean, and the funny thing is, all the articles, I was looking through the articles she has in all these Jewish magazines, all of them are reaffirming Jewish points. Right. They're like the right wing, because the intellectual dark web, as we said, and it was funny, then I found this leftist piece that was attacking Quillette, and basically what it is Quillette is a place where aggrieved people that are still not shut out of the debate have suffered some setbacks because of hyper-political correctness, get to write their little screeds complaining about how, oh, these the SJWs in my class shut down a lecture, or, oh, I wasn't allowed to talk about there only being two genders at this thing on campus, and blah, blah, blah. But and so the left has no sympathy for this. So right. It says, like, this isn't a free thought journal, which is, it's not. And that's the funny thing, is that This Slate article was able to do this attack on Quillette because it's true. Because Quillette is filled with these academics who will only go so far, like Steven Pinker types, mm-hmm. who are like, I can't talk about gender anymore because these rabid SJW students insist on like this multiple gender thing. And, you know, I was looking at the Rational Wiki on Claire Lehman, and they call her a radical transphobic bigot that ascribes to the well-discredited two genders theory. And that's like Rational
Wiki. Well-discredited two genders.
Yes, the long-discredited two genders theory. Claire Lehman is a bigot for ascribing to that.
If I just assert that it's discredited, that means it's discredited.
Well, that's
right?
That's the thing. Rational Wiki, the funny thing is, Rational Wiki is the most irrational thing that exists. It's just name-calling the website. But the thing is, the way they keep you boxed in is they create things like Rational Wiki and Slate that are like intolerably shitty and stupid. And then they dangle Claire Lehman and Quillette out there, right? As the opposition to it, where they're like, we're getting the Sargons, the Jordan Petersons, the Claire Lehmans, these Gentiles that are nonetheless enforcing.
It matters how you don't win.
Yes, they're nonetheless enforcing a Jewish framework. And this is also the fundamental dishonesty of Nathan Kovness in saying that the whole point is saying that Jews are left-wing. Jews are not only left-wing. Jews enforce a dialectic paradigm that excludes those things which they want excluded. They don't want, they clearly, obviously do not want Claire Lehman and the sort of milquetoast politics at Quillette, which is really just a place for academics who've suffered a slight due to political correctness to go and bitch. Right? It's like a professor that said there's two genders gets to go and write an article bitching about it in Quillette, right? That's the function it holds. So then the debate stays about those things, right? That's the fundamental thing. So if you want to criticize Islam, if you want to say there's only two genders, if you want to talk about identity politics on the left, if you want to talk about blue-haired feminists, if you want to complain about all of these things, you won't get power. But you'll get an article in Quillette as like a consolation prize, right? And that's how this enforces the kosher sandwich.
See,
this
we're
is
having
where
the discussion. See, yeah, we're exactly. Not shutting down debate.
Exactly. But Claire Lehman, and you know, when I went back and I found the tweet where Claire Lehman retweets Kofnis's hack article. And this is the thing. This is how you know academia is a fucking fraud, because Kofnis's article was beyond hackneyed. Okay, it was like 40 pages where he really didn't make points. He just wowed quotes by McDonald, and then he would brush them off with like one sentence rebuttals. It wasn't a real article. It's an article that claims that it achieved a goal so that it can be cited. That's it. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
basically all.
And no one read it. Jordan Peterson didn't write it. Claire Lehman didn't write it. She tweets out, this is a point-by-point rebuttal of McDonald. It's not at all. It leaves out a ton of stuff.
It's a point-by-point.
I will at some point.
It's a wow-by-wow rebuttal. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's literally wow, just wow.
And it should be so easy to rebut, right? I mean, this is just bigoted evil Nazi stuff, right? I mean, it can't be based
on
anything.
Well, then Kevin tweets at Lehman afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, actually, there are several flaws with Koffness's rebuttal to me. Here's my rebuttal to Koffness. So Kevin wrote a paper responding to Koffness. And he's like, I'm sure that Quillette will publish this since it's publishing Koffness.
Sure.
I'm sure you'll allow me an article in Quillette to defend myself, right? Because you're about open exchange of ideas. And then, like, there's a whole, under that tweet, there's like a few people, this is an old tweet. It's over a year old now. Yeah. So, because that's when Koffness came out of his paper. So, there's a number of people that are saying, will you let Kevin respond in your journal? Will you let Kevin respond in your journal? And then there's like dozens of tweets that are just like tweet no longer available. Because those are just people that said the same thing but have since been banned for one reason or another, right? They're just alt-right accounts that have been banned now by now for one reason or another. So it's totally bullshit. And this is the other thing. The reason I wanted to correct myself, even though I was quite sure that someone named Lehman running Quillette and getting published in Jewish journals was a Jew, I did the research and I found out that that was wrong. And I want to correct myself because I don't want Koffness to be able to use this as like a blow. Like Mike Enoch doesn't know what he's talking about. He makes stuff up. He goes off willy-nilly. So, no, okay, I was wrong. She's not Jewish. Doesn't make Koffness any less of a hack. Doesn't make Koffness any less of a liar. Doesn't make Koffness's paper any less of a complete fucking snow job. It's like Koffness is bullshit. I did a long thread on why he's bullshit on Twitter. And I fucking completely dragged him and blew him out. And I'll do it again. And I'll do it again. And I'll do it in a debate. But Koffness won't debate me. And it's because he's scared. He wouldn't debate McDonald because he's scared. And he won't debate me because he's scared. He won't debate Stryker because he's scared. Because he's a pussy. You are a pussy, Nathan. I will debate you. I will even debate you on Luke Ford's fucking channel. But you won't debate because you know you're a liar. You know that you are a liar, Nathan. Your paper is not just a bad paper. It's a lie. And and did I tell you the latest lie that he did? And Stryker and I already covered this, but I want to rehash it because some people might not listen to Stryker and Mike. The latest lie that Koffness did was, and this is why Koffness came back to my attention and why Koffness is also showing up in my timeline, because I wrecked him so badly, so he feels like he's got a thing on me because, oh, Mike said this, right? So his latest lie was that he was talking about Paul Ehrlich. Remember Paul Ehrlich, population bomb?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so in the 1970s, Paul Ehrlich wrote this paper called the book called The Population Bomb. And he was asserting all these things that never came true, right? He made all these predictions about population explosion and like the lack of food. He was talking about
it came true in Africa.
No, it didn't. Because it actually really didn't, because the population's exploding and they're still exploding. But so he was positing a Malthusian trap was going to lead to an eventual collapse of a catabolic collapse, I would say, of industrial society.
Yeah. Look at this graph.
But it didn't happen. And so Koffness says, and McDonald does a tweet criticizing Ehrlich. Ehrlich was a Jew. And McDonald does a tweet criticizing Ehrlich and saying, well, Ehrlich, you know, Ehrlich was wrong, and the real effect of Ehrlich's work wasn't, what it does is it makes wealthy Gentiles who are concerned about environmentalism have less children. Not that there's a lot of inputs that are making wealthy people or white people or environmentally concerned upper middle class, white people have fewer children, but this might be one of them, right? Here's an ideological reason, and you do sometimes see these people that talk about, I can't have children because it's contributing to pollution and stuff. And you see, they moved away from population bomb to like global warming.
Yeah,
carbon footprints. Carbon footprints and such, right?
Resources.
So there's a history of this in the environmental movement. Now, this isn't the reason why this is not the only reason that the environmental movement is a Jewish trick. This is one. There's another really more profound reason, but this is one. So McDonald's talking about this. So Koffness retweets him and he's like, this is how people on the alt-right are misled by McDonald, because McDonald won't tell you that Paul Ehrlich had a major opponent in the public sphere, and that opponent was also a Jew, a guy named Julian Simon. Now, he was an economist with Cato.
Oh, God.
So as soon as I saw this, I was like, all right, I actually remember this. And I didn't remember who the economist was, but I remembered the debate that Ehrlich got into. And so basically this Julian Simon guy, he's like, okay, Ehrlich, because it was a very, very successful book. It went far. So Julian Simon comes out and he makes a series of wagers on what year this part of the book will be disproven. and he wants Ehrlich to give him some money. Of course, he wants Ehrlich to give him like money every time.
Let's make it a bet.
Yeah, so he makes it a bet, right?
Let's make things interesting. The thing is this, though. The Jewish wager.
So Julian Simon was more right than Ehrlich, right? Julian Simon's a Jew. But what else does Julian Simon stand for? Well, Julian Simon is an open borders fanatic of the Brian Kaplan variety, right? Yeah. So he's saying, no, 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 there's not enough people. There's not enough people. And in fact, Paul, not only are there not enough people, there's so not enough people that we can't even breed enough people in our own country, and our birth rates are falling, so we need mass immigration.
Yeah,
so here's how the kosher sandwich works. This is the pristine example of it. So you have Paul Ehrlich. Oh, God, the environment is terrible, Goyim. Please don't have children. We can't have children. And then they listen because they're not going to, even if Julian Simon is right, the people that are going to be brought into that argument aren't going to listen to him, right? So you have all these environmentally conscious, super, yeah, is that?
That's just an article I just came across wires the other day.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, but that's, Julian Simon I think is either dead or retired by now. So he's very old. He was big in the 70s and the 80s. And in fact, there's a debate you can see with him and Peter Brimlow from the 90s. It's on public. It was on public TV.
Oh, this was
he went on Charlie Rose. He went on Charlie Rose in the look. You can all you need to do to find Julian Simon and search his name, you'll find.
I'm not looking for Julian Simon. Yeah, okay. I was looking for this article, this specific article.
Adam Minter.
Adam Minter.
Oh God.
From Bloomberg Opinion. Only immigrants can reverse America's baby bust.
Yeah. So this is essentially a Julian Simon-esque. Probably even cites him in this argument. But
we create a demographic crisis, and then we give you the solution, which is to import people that aren't interested.
Exactly. So now I think that the demographic crisis has more inputs than simply Paul Ehrlich's population bomb, obviously. But that Paul Ehrlich was the first in a kind of genre of these environmentally sensitive people that convince wealthy and upper class whites who are concerned with the environment to not breed. And we do see that there are these people. They are out there. And then not only are they not breeding, they only adopt African children and shit like that, which is even worse. But this is a kosher sandwich. This is a perfect kosher sandwich. The argument is
absolutely perfect.
It's like ideal. You know, and so Koffness is out there saying McDonald won't tell you that. Like McDonald, he's not required to tell you that. He was talking about Paul Ehrlich. Also, I didn't look at his whole series. He very well might have talked about it. He could possibly talk about Julian Simon too if he wants. But what you are lying about, Nathan, is why don't you tell your readers everything that Julian Simon believes? And you won't do that because you know that they will say, wait, so you're putting forward as the hero that went against the leftist Jew Paul Ehrlich, the right-wing Jew Julian Simon, who instead wants to flood the West with immigrants. And so he knows exactly where this will go. And it's funny, so this guy who was also a Jew, who says, like, he tweets at Koffness underneath his tweet saying, like, in fairness, the alt-right would just call this the kosher sandwich.
Oh, wow.
And Koffness, like, ignores this guy.
Of course.
But I jumped in, and I'm like, yeah. And this guy actually follows me. He's one of these Jews that wants my attention. That's like, no, the Jews can be good. Koffness is of that type, too. But because we drag this guy so much, he's got, like, a personal thing with us. So I don't think there's been any response of Koffness to getting BTFO on this level by saying, like, not only do you give an example of Julian Simon, it's, like, a perfect example.
Right.
Of the kosher sandwich. So it proves our theory. And Koffness, this is your problem. You can't, you know, saying like, oh, Julian Simon is also Jewish and he went against Ehrlich. Oh, Claire Lehman isn't Jewish. These are not really arguments against our central thesis, which is kosher sandwich. Like we promote kosher sandwich theory, and we give plenty of examples to prove it. And you don't have.
Can we say explicitly what that is? What that means is, on both sides of the debate, it's being argued by Jewish people, and it's for unspoken Jewish interests. Usually,
yes, also sometimes it's not always being argued by a Jewish person, but the frame of the debate is being set by Jews. So, example: Claire Lehman is an example of a Gentile who I thought was Jewish, because she so effectively argues the Jewish side of the kosher sandwich and is, in fact, a major spokesperson for it, and therefore gets published in all these right-wing Jewish magazines in which she argues for multiculturalism, but against identity politics. That's how it is. It's like both sides of this kosher sandwich argue for multiculturalism.
Yes.
Right? The left embraces identity politics and open anti-whiteness and never entertains any issue against they don't entertain the against identity politics argument they attack is just racism, so they don't argue with it. They don't even and this is the thing, this is why it's so tempting to take that right slice and go on it, because they don't even engage with the arguments. That's the thing. Right. They are just as bad faith and just as despicable and repugnant in engaging with the right half of the kosher sandwich as they are in engaging with everything else. So it becomes tempting to take a nice comfy seat on that right slice of bread. But
that's what makes the right slice so exciting to some. It's so alluring.
It's got like the sparkle
to it. What adds the extra the extra layer is while the rights the normie
rights
like
cinnamon
response,
and sugar sprinkles on it.
Well, let me get to the thing here. It's like while it says that you know we're better than identity politics, we don't do it. We talk about ideas. It's creedal. We talk about all these conservative values and libertarian values, and anybody can aspire to them. Anyone can describe. They also the only identity politics they do allow is Israeli Jewish identity, and so in that way all these normie boomer Republicans get to hop on that, and they get to do this like gung ho like vicarious nationalist ethno nationalist fight for them, but never for themselves.
But you'll notice something. They don't the intellectuals don't defend Israel on specifically those grounds. They defend Israel on the grounds that it upholds Western values, which is a lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They typically say Israel's democratic, it's liberal, it's secular, it's like, they say
I don't
it's
think,
got
I don't
all
think
these
Betty
values.
Says
they act like it's a beachhead for Western values.
Right, but then
something.
there's lower tier stuff that's like, then you get like the sort of GOP, the low tier GOP punditry, where they just call people that don't like Israel anti-Semites, right? And that's like the Sean Hannity stuff. And yeah, they say like we, and then that's to appeal to the literal grug brain Christian Zionists. We're like, you're anti-Semitic, you hate Israel, you hate God and Christianity, and we're gonna Holy Land and Revelations and bleh, right, so. Like all that crap. But those people are dumb. Those people aren't engaging with Quillette tier stuff, right? Those are just grug brain Trump lovers, Zionists.
That's just
like,
further down the.
That's just
for
that's just and that is in a way. They will make these Jews, like Commentary Magazine, loves the fact that those people exist. Those are their literal sheep. They're literal cattle. They're literal fucking human sacrifices for their, their foreskin state.
Yeah.
But they'll make intellectual arguments for, Americanism, patriotism. And it's a Jew when you see they argue for war and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But the funny thing is that even the libertarian ones that are less pro-war sit happily right, and this is the thing that tipped me off and started pissing me off when I was a libertarian, is the type of people that will sit at the table with people like Norman Potteretz, right, and John Potteretz and William Crystal and such. William Crystal was always a factor of abuse, but they would like take an article and commentary, even though this is the vehicle for a lot of this stuff, right? This is what it is, and that's how the kosher sandwich theory operates. And the theory is that the parameters of debate are set by Jews, typically the two people taking either side of a question are Jewish, though not always. But the parameters of the debate are ultimately set by the Jewish intellectual establishment, and the parameters of the debate, maintain a Jewish framework in which Jews benefit on either side. And typically, both sides actually achieve their goals. That's another thing to look at. It's like, it's not winner take all with this. It's not either or. So, I was talking last night, an Australian guy calls in. He talks about how there's this right-wing Jew who's appealing. He's in the government somewhere in Australia. He's appealing to the Australian patriotism. And he's talking about patriots, and he's even appealing to anti-immigration sentiment. But one of his main things is also to prevent the left parties in Australia from recognizing a Palestinian state. So so the thing is, this is the other thing. So you'll get these Jewish figures that come in, and they will pay lip service to patriotism and to nominally nationalistic or right-wing sentiments. Like, hey, we're going to get out of immigration, right? A lot of times in the U.S., certainly, they try to whip up jingoism and pro-war sentiments for going to war with, you know, bomb Mecca and nuke the Middle East and all that shit. They're trying to amplify that to get people eager for war with Israel's enemies. But this Australian guy, he's not successful at curtailing immigration, right? But he is successful at preventing Australia from recognizing a Palestinian state.
Are you talking about Donald Trump?
Right. But that's the same thing, right? Because it's like, and that's also, it's a great example. What does Donald Trump achieve? So when you get figures on the right that come in and they say all this Zionist stuff, but they're also saying stuff that you like, and then, you know, we took the position of, oh, well, you just have to be Zionist on the right. Like, so we're willing to accept that. And then as an exchange, we get what we want. But that doesn't happen. The Jews get what they want. And the left doesn't fight against the Zionist stuff. They might bitch about it a little bit. But this is sort of where the left is like, can actually be like, oh, we're aggrieved. We're not getting what we want. But it's not really what they want. So it's like, okay, they'll come out and they'll be like, wow, isn't it terrible that Donald Trump is doing all this jingoism and all this stuff with Iran, and isn't in the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, that was a bad move. It's going to inflame the tensions in the region and make the Arabs hate us and such. So there'll be leftists that'll come out and they'll honestly be saying they don't like that. But they're not going to get what they want. But then on the left side of it, there's going to be Jews coming in. They'll be like, yeah, but we want immigration. We want these non-white identity politics. And like, you know, so Jews will sometimes come onto the scene. They'll promote things that their Gentile, either left or right Gentile audiences like, but they'll at the same time promote a Jewish agenda, and the Jewish agenda is what will get done, where the Gentile one won't. And then they'll point to the right and say, look, they don't let that happen because they're bad meanies. So it's the same thing. Trump can't get anything done on immigration because the left are bad meanies. But he can get all the Zionism done. He doesn't get held up on that. And on the left, they can't get anything done on the pro-war front, or the foreign policy and all this other stuff. But they get all the identity politics and immigration. That's how it works. That's how this operates. The framework benefits Jews. The things on either side that get done benefit Jews, and the things on either side that would benefit the left doesn't get workers' rights. They don't get nationalized health care. They don't get, you know, there's a number of things they don't get, right? But they get all the identity politics. They get all the race and trans and gay, and they get the immigration, the blah, blah, blah. So that's how it works. That's the kosher sandwich. That's how it works. That's why Nathan Koffness, he can write a paper pretending that he refuted McDonald's thesis that Jews are left wing, when in fact the thesis is more complex than that. And is easily proven once you're willing to take a look at how this works. So Koffness is full of shit. He's a liar. And he doesn't argue also. And whenever I spoke with Koffness, all he does is trickery. Literally all he does is verbal tricks.
Mm. Wow.
Like I remember one time when we were talking about Jewish ethnocentrism.
Mm.
And I was like, well, Jews themselves talk about being ethnocentric. They have many Jewish-centered publications where they talk about Jewish issues. And his, you know what he said? His response? Why should I believe Jews? That's what he said to me.
Well,
I was like, Jews themselves talk about being ethnocentric. And he's like, well, why should I believe them? Think about that level of Judaism. It's tough to grasp, right?
I guess I'm thunderstruck.
Well, you don't.
I'm lying that I'm about my own self interest here. That's what I'm doing.
I'm telling you that my own people lie because you have discovered, even though you already think they're liars, you've discovered a place where amongst themselves they tell the truth to each other and they talk about their ethnocentrism. So I'm hoping to double down on your idea that Jews lie to get you to not believe that. But really what he was doing was he's trying to leave you thunderstruck. That's the point. It's literally, I'm going to pull something out of my ass that's so out there. This goy isn't even going to get it.
No, I get it. It's just like, what do you even say to that? It's like, you're
thing. That's the other thing. That is so, but think about this.
All you could say is you believe them and you're full of shit.
Well, think about this. That point he made of why should I believe Jews,
mm-hmm.
is meant to elicit the reaction of being thunderstruck. That's right. The only, it's like, because there's nothing to say to it. There is legitimately nothing to say to that level of audacity.
But it doesn't refute anything.
It doesn't refute anything.
Like, he loses.
But by making me be like, but say we were debating and he pulls that out.
Yeah, you're going to be speechless to that. It's like, thank you. I just say thanks. Like,
yeah, I'll be like, you're right. Jews are fucking liars, Nathan. Thank you. You're right. Mm. You're just fucking liars. And frankly, we don't even need to delve more into this and get more complicated. Mm. If your thesis is that Jews are fucking liars, Nathan, then we're in agreement. All right? Fuck you.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. No, the guys are really...
I mean, it is an audacious thing to claim, especially when the central contention is that they lie in the service of themselves.
Right.
Right. So... in this case, they're probably actually telling the truth.
Well, the other thing is, if my thesis is that Jews lie in the... first of all, I'm not saying Jews lie literally all the time. I say that they lie when it benefits them. Mm. And when they're talking internally to themselves in Jewish only... people can read these publications, but they generally don't, right?
Right.
Only, really, the only Gentiles that read Jewish publications are anti-Semites. And so they, it's true. It's true. And so if I read it and I point out what it says...
You're an anti-Semite first and you read the publication, or you read the publication, you immediately...
Oh, no, I didn't read Jewish only publications until I was an anti-Semite, for sure. No, there's no question. Like, because why would I? I don't care. Because before I cared about Jewish stuff, I would see a Jewish magazine. I'd be like, well, I'm not interested in that. I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
Right? So I would see like Jewish Daily Forward or some of these, like, but see, the ones you'll see are like Jewish World. And it's got like a big star of David and some happy Jews. And I'm just like, if I'd see that like at the doctor's office or something, why would I pick that?
I'm not going to read that.
Give me Sports Illustrated or Time or something. I don't care. I don't want to pick. Because it's like if I saw Ebony, I'm not going to pick that up either. Right?
Implying Sports Illustrated isn't a Jewish magazine now.
Well, yeah. They're all Jewish
magazines.
Give
me the other Jewish
magazine.
Give me the one with the, what do they call it? The hijab kini? The burkini? Give me the burkini swimsuit edition.
But that's also why, like, Jewish Daily Forward, you remember when Ryan was on the show and he was saying, like, Jewish Daily Forward actually had these articles about these dancing Israelis and stuff?
Yeah.
Right, because they didn't think any Gentiles were going to read it. Right?
And someone who does read them, like, won't be able to get anyone to believe them.
That's the big hope, right?
Yeah.
But that's why...
What's held out for this long?
But that it does seem to work. But increasingly, as we, the thing is, if it starts to become effective for us to, the other thing, Tablet Magazine closed their comment section and made you pay them a subscription fee to comment.
Yeah.
Wow. Who else does that? We got more readers than they do, or listeners. We have more listeners than they have readers. But that you have to. That's another effective gatekeeping. So it's sort of like you can't argue with them. I mean, you could pay. I've thought about before, but then I look at the comment sections, and there's very, very few people comment anyway. But I would argue that, like, if it started becoming effective to cite them. Like, be really effective. Like, I think it's somewhat effective. Started becoming more effective, more of a threat. They would just start taking these magazines offline. Jewish Daily Forward already does it. Jewish Daily Forward certainly shut down their comment section.
Yeah, you have to have a subscription to read that at all, don't you?
They've put up a paywall.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. So they it's, and you know,
give
that the, could
give
be,
no scripts on Breivik a try. Maybe that'll get through.
Yeah. No script on Breivik will usually get you to read anything.
Is it Forward?
Yeah, I think you can read. It depends. They've got a blog and they've got longer form articles. They might cookie you and say,
Jewish fearless since 1897. Guy Ritchie. What the fuck am I writing about Guy Ritchie in here?
Yeah. So, anyway, this is how the kosher sandwich works. This is how Nathan Koffness works. And basically, anytime he brings this, his whole thing of, like, the problem is, the fundamental problem with Koffness is his attempt to prove that Jews are always left wing. And the argument that Jews are also right wing, and here's some right wing Jews, he cannot show an example of right wing Jews that are pursuing right wing Gentile interests and that get anything done. The one counterexample he might have would be Stephen Miller. But he can't count on a single counterexample disproving our thesis because he attempts to disprove Kevin's thesis by saying these Jews that you are pointing out in some cases are themselves counterexamples. So he accepts the idea that one lone individual counterexample does not a theory make, right? So if he's saying Kevin's thesis is based on nothing but counterexamples, when I say, well, Stephen Miller is just one counterexample, that doesn't refute a thesis. And it doesn't. And in fact, there's this guy keeps calling into Mike and the Mad Wop, and he's talking about how this guy Jeremy, he's talking about how his view on Stephen Miller is that he is a follower of Stephen Steinlight, who was a similar immigration restrictionist because he felt that too much non-white immigration would lead to more anti-Semitism. It could be that Miller is a Stephen Steinlight guy. It could be that Miller honestly is against immigration because he wants to keep America white. I don't know, but it doesn't matter because it's one, it's literally the one single counterexample you have. Another counterexample would be Gilad Atzmon, but Gilad Atzmon is just a fucking anti-Semite. He promotes Kevin MacDonald. He warns people about Jews. He wrote a book warning people about Jews. So, like, you can't really, like, he says Koffness is full of shit. Like, you can't use Gilad Atzmon, and he's not even right-wing. He's a leftist. But he's like, Jews are bad people. He's like, he's like our guy on this question. So the idea that you would even use him is some kind of counterexample when he's literally just promoting our idea. So you got two. We've got two Jews that I can think of that I can't tell you are anti-Gentile. It's not really a robust wave of undermining a theory. Anyway.
Wait. So the bar here is you're not anti-Gentile versus, you know, well.
I don't know what the bar really, is.
I can't prove pro-Gentile either.
I can't prove that you're anti-Gentile.
Well, with Koffness, there is no bar.
It's just,
yeah, no.
Right? There is no bar.
No,
because for him, when he enters into a debate, his objective is to make you be thunderstruck, not to argue his point. He only ever comes out with attempts to thunderstrike you. He does not want to debate. He wants to say something that's so weird and out of the blue and audacious. It's a clever turn of phrase rather than an argument. His actual argument fails on every level. His actual argument fails on every fucking level. And Luke Ford is another. He would say, like, oh, look, Luke Ford, here's your counterexample. Here's your right-wing Jew. Koffness thinks that, well, he basically is, though. I mean, he converted and he manifests their behaviors, so he's a fucking Jew in my book. I mean, a guy that wants to be Jewish, he's like almost worse. The rest of them were just born that way.
Well, they keep kicking him out of everything, though.
Well, yeah, but he still is, and he has this little weird clique of people,
yeah,
of whom Koffness is one of them. So here we have Luke Ford and Halsey English. Right, they try to worm their way into alt-right circles, somewhat successful for a while, and they do it by amplifying. And this is the thing. If you think a Jew won't amplify racism, you're absolutely wrong. They will. They're the most racist people on earth, so of course they'll amplify it. So Halsey English and Luke Ford, they amplify race realism. They go kind of... Luke is a little smarter. Halsey's kind of grug, but he's like... Halsey wants to bring people back to, like, patriotard conservatism, like MAGA shit, go bomb Iran and stuff, right? Luke is a little bit more subtle. Luke affirms all this race realist crap. He goes for the anti-gay. He even goes so far as to admit Jewish involvement in some of this. And therefore he brings you in, but then what happens? He develops around him this clique of not just intellectually dark web Jews, but Jews that are even further to the right. And then Koffness is there to refute Kevin MacDonald. And then Luke suddenly is amplifying this obviously scheming Nathan Koffness to amplify his attack on MacDonald and undermine the alt-right critique of Jews. And basically what Luke Ford and Nathan Koffness want is they want the alt-right to go back to HBD, race realism, maybe some kind of pathetic attempt to restore monarchy, or something like that. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's what these guys are about.
And I'm sure there's some Jews that wouldn't mind colonizing that entire political movement and using it for their own ends if it were possible, but it's not possible.
Well, it is possible with that political movement. The only movement they can't colonize is ours, because we're specifically anti-Jewish and we're specifically pro-white. And whenever I start seeing these movements on the right that start attacking and undermining the idea of being pro-white because it's either not a thing or it's too broad and Europe isn't white and Europe is European and blah, 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 and maybe we should go for some other thing. We should be religious. We should be monarchist. It's just like, it's just, you're just jerking yourself off. It's jerking yourself off.
At least jerk me off.
Yeah. No, I don't want that either.
No.
And that's also, we see Michael Malice is another one of these. I just
Michael
saw,
who?
Oh, Michael yeah. Malice. Look, Michael, you're filled with malice. You're filled with malice. All right. Your book, you're trying to co-opt the right, Michael. You can't do it. All right? Michael Malice. You can't co-opt the right. Can't. And so Michael Malice fits right in with these guys. He's like, he's racist. You know, he's willing to admit that blacks are stupid. He hates liberalism. He was a Moldbug fan back in the day. I don't know if he talks about that in his book, but Moldbug, also Jew. You know, all this stuff. So all that stuff is garbage. And, you know, this movement is better, smarter, more popular than that stuff for a reason. And I'm sure that that whole slice of this thing, that sort of HBD neo-reaction stuff, it's all shitty now because they won't take that pill. And the Koffness paper was written specifically to appeal to those people. I'm sorry. Am I like boring you? Cause you keep,
I didn't expect to do 2 hours on Koffness today.
No. Nah.
Well, it's important.
We covered him. We want to do it again.
Let's move forward. What's next?
I don't know. I was waiting for a good Segu point. It wasn't coming though.
I think I had a Segu point. What did we want to talk about? I had a Segu point, and I lost
it. I have two things, but depends what you want.
What are they? Go.
All right. Going back to what we were talking about last show with state-enforced homosexuality, I think we were talking about the age of consent in Britain.
Yes.
That we're talking about. Well, we have there's a law on the books in Connecticut now that it's illegal to try to give your child therapy out of these things, out of homosexuality or transgenderism. Let's see. The establishment of a lesbian, gay, bisexual rights.
Oh, yeah. That's because they've been trying to inflate this idea of, like, the re-education camps for gays. They've been trying to, like, make that into a thing forever about how dangerous and awful and fascist it is.
In regard to very liberal, Connecticut is the second state in the U.S. to enact two major pieces of pro-LGBT legislation, the repeal of sodomy law in 71, and the legalization of same-sex marriage in 2008. State law bans discrimination on the basis of both sexual orientation, gender identity. Conversion therapy is also outlawed in the state. This is on May 2nd, 2017, the Connecticut House of Representatives passed Bill HB 6695 by a vote of 141-8 to ban conversion therapy in minors. The bill passed by a unanimous vote of 36-0 in the... They had an 18-18 Senate. 18-9, and it passed unanimously.
Of course. So this shows you like what the real agenda. Why would Republicans?
David French would vote for that.
Yeah.
David French is an enthusiastic proponent.
Because it's a sponsor.
Look, a compromise. Because it's not decent to try and make your kid not gay.
You can't even vote
against. So here's the thing. This is why the they're born like that argument is so malicious. Like, there's no part of their arguments that are true. Right. They can't ever tell the truth. It cannot be that people are born like that because this is what they're telling us. That alone will let you know. But on top of that, we've often talked about how they're nihilistic or they revert to nihilism when it comes to blacks and when it comes to race things, right? They revert to nihilism with homosexuality, which is far more nebulous than race. They revert to hard determinism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like determinism is out when it comes to race, where you know, you could talk about determinism in different ways, like full spectrum determinism. Whenever Stefan Molyneux argues against determinism, he argues against the idea that, like, the universe from the beginning, every molecule and how every molecule would end up moving around, which includes, like, human behavior, is, like, determined from the beginning of the universe to the end. Like, that's Molyneux's, like, straw man of what determinism means.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this is just means, like, your genes basically determine, like, a lot about you, right? So, like, if you're born with an 80 IQ, you're not going to win a Nobel Prize, unless it's the Peace Prize. You might win that.
Unless you're black.
Yeah, that was the gag, right? The only prize that blacks win is the Peace Prize, which is why they made it up, and almost all the winners are black of the Peace Prize. So, which is really just the consolation, Nobel consolation prize. But they go with agnosticism and really nihilism when it comes to race, but then they're hard determinists, and we know the science on homosexuality is settled, that they're born that way, but it's not settled at all. We don't know what causes homosexuality, if it's a gene, or what I think is most likely is that it's caused by sexual abuse. It could be that there's a proclivity that is activated by sexual abuse, therefore you won't necessarily become homosexual if you're sexually abused, but sexual abuse does seem to be a common factor in almost all homosexuals. It is very rare that, and I have never really even, and it's like people are either like open about the fact that they were abused and homosexual, or they just are silent about it, which doesn't mean they weren't sexually abused, because high likelihood someone would just be silent about that. So even Ellen DeGeneres comes out as saying she was sexually abused last week or a few days ago. So I think sexual abuse is the key here, and that's something that's underreported. And if it's sexual abuse, then it's a psychological problem. You could possibly get psychological treatment to stop being like that.
I have a story on it. Sexually abused by her stepfather at age 15.
Right.
Crazy.
And I've often said that lesbians are women that have had such a traumatic heterosexual experience with a predatory man that they can't experience intimacy with men anymore. That's what makes you a lesbian.
My experience with people that I know.
Yeah.
I've known several such cases where usually they were dating a guy like in their mid-teens, and then they got abused or raped, and then after that they became lesbians and never went back.
Wow, here's a really disturbing story in the Daily Mail. Halsey shows off fab figure in skimpy thong bikini while enjoying some fun in the sun in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Jesus.
Wow.
These are pictures I do not need to see. Halsey.
Bro.
Guy.
You don't have
You're
going to
want to stick with those boomer sunglasses.
Yeah, just wear the sunglasses inside. Don't go outside.
Stay inside with your sunglasses and ball cap so no one can see how ugly you truly are. And just stay there.
Right? Oh, my God. I forgot about this. Oh, here's a fucking story. Oh, my God. Talk about totally immersive applied mugmanism. Fucking Kit Harington, the actor that plays fucking Jon Snow. Yes. When he found out that his character was, like, going to kill Daenerys, he, like, checked himself into a wellness clinic because he was so disturbed by the ending of the kit. What's, like, you think you're a fucking fan of sword shit? Holy shit.
What a faggot. That could also just be fucking bullshit, like, just to like, create another story about
it. I don't know.
All right.
That's what he said.
I was building to an important point, and this is a terrible. Wow! Imagine Game of Thrones distracting from something important.
I thought you were done.
No, I wasn't even close
to being done. Like your entire life,
I wasn't even close to being done. My point was that if this thing that is triggered by sexual abuse, homosexuality, which we know is pathological, right? Mm-hmm. It's pathological. It leads to all these other diseases. It leads you to be compulsive consumer of sex, constantly having more and weirder kinds of sex, getting into really weird shit like bug chasing. It's totally self-destructive, and it's totally degenerate and fucked up. And while not every homosexual goes all as far as the furthest people go, they all go further than you really know, right? Like, they're all at the fuck party, right?
Mm.
Particularly the men, because as you said, homosexuality, when it's men, it's the male sexual appetite amplified, right? Yeah, so it becomes like hyper.
Not at all tempered.
Right, there's no temper. There's no woman to be pursued or to say no or whatever. Like, we've been through this before.
Have you ever seen this phenomenon? Like, have you ever seen, like, somebody will be, like, drunk or something and say, like, man, if I was a chick,
I'd be like the biggest slut in the world.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah,
it's pathetic.
Like, but that's kind of like that's the standard fuck party.
Right.
It's like now you're just you got a bunch of guys that think that way. Now they're all the biggest sluts in the world just for each other.
Yeah. Well, wow. So now suddenly I am kind of a chick because I want to get fucked by dudes, and so wow, I'm the biggest slut in the world, and that's just like all these gay guys.
Just so many drops in those last like two sentences. Oh,
so much to isolate. Wow. So much to isolate. But the thing is, okay, so if it's triggered by abuse, which I think it is, and I think that's something worth studying. Why is that not worth studying when we have so many examples of homosexuals that have been abused, both anecdotally and just like statistically? It also has been shown that more than half of them are abused, but that link with abuse and this behavior that manifests. Now, there's a link between abuse and pathological behavior in adult life that has been studied multiple ways, like beating kids. If you got beat bad as a kid, you're going to beat your kids. That's pretty fucking well established by now, right? So why is this not, and even they even do this with sexual abuse. Those sexually abused as minors tend to sexually abuse minors when they grow up. But then the link to homosexuality they don't want to bring in because they don't want you to see gay men as fundamentally sexual predators, but that's what they really are.
That's if you read any of their own accounts, they describe the environment that way as just being inherently abusive and exploitive.
Even when they're having sex with adults, it's still a predatory and exploitative environment. They have hundreds of partners. And like some guy was like, I remember some guy saying like, there was something where some guy was like decided to be celibate or something on Twitter. And some guy tweets at him like, yeah, I've had enough too. You know, and even though my sexuality was considered kind of on the mild side, I've had over like 100 partners. And I'm burnt out on sex. I can't do it anymore.
That's the mild side?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So someone responds to him, and he's like, wait, the mild side? And the guy's like, oh, I'm gay. So yeah, 100 partners is like mild. And I was like, wow. Oh, Jesus Christ. So,
wow.
So this behavior is pathological. And if abuse is what manifests this behavior, then therapy could be a solution. Because people that have been abused can be treated with therapy, my understanding. Is that there is a possibility of psychotherapy helping these people.
Well, so what I find interesting is you're going to ban conversion therapy, but in the opposite direction, you're going to make it mandatory. Like if your kid puts on a dress, you got to take them to a therapist.
Yes.
And then they will be told that they're transgender. And now we got to off with the penis and in with the hormones.
Mm. Yeah. And the thing is that like, it's not that it's like mandatory, like it's ever going to be written down. But whenever there's a challenge, the trans side will win.
Always.
So we had this example of this dad who I think was from Texas.
Yeah, the aggrieved like normal father, like will always.
Yeah, who he split with his wife and they were sharing custody of the kid. The wife starts dressing the kid like a girl when she has him, and then she sends him back and he's like dressed like a girl and talking about how he's a girl because mommy said I'm a girl. And the dad's like, fuck this. Puts him back in boys' clothes. He's like, no, you're not a girl. You're a boy. Mm. There's a court battle. The dad loses custody, and then he's got to pay for the trans therapy for his son. Now, not going to say anything untoward or redactable, but let's just redact everything I'm about to say. And
yeah,
total
redaction.
Well, just total redaction. I think we all know.
Total redaction victory.
Yes, total fucking redaction.
Wow. Yeah, that's horrible. And just, that decision's going to be, that was in Texas, right?
Yes, I believe that was Texas. Yeah. That was Texas.
Texas where?
When has there ever been a situation where you've taken a trans, quote-unquote trans kid to the therapist, and the therapist is like, nah, they're not trans.
I want to know. Nah. I want to know if that's happened.
Has this ever happened?
I've heard that it has, but I would like to hear stories of that happening.
People have asserted this, but I've never seen any evidence.
It's like, no, you're just...
Because what
evidence would there be? You're just not popular in school.
Well, we took
no
them to
you.
The specialist, and really, you know, we're just going with what the specialist told us here. Their authority is paramount, you know?
That's the other way. That's the way that
the
authoritarianism...
What's the case where they always go this one direction with every single person you bring to them?
Well, that's another way that the authoritarianism can be corrupted, right? It's not like it's always purely good to be, because here you have people that are acceding to authority because the guy in the white lab coat or the guy with the initials in front of his name, doctor, guy with the big piece of paper
on
the wall.
You know what's going to cure this?
He's like, here's what you should do.
You need a fistula.
Yes.
Imagine if you had a vagina that poop came out of.
Yes. That's another reason I think that's the most effective propaganda against this stuff is you have to tell these people what these surgeries are like. That's why, I mean, look, pretending that people didn't love fucking episode 446 is ridiculous.
Love Dr. Rumor, and they love the 4 minutes of post-roll that I forgot about when I sent it to you.
I just left it. I forgot. I didn't realize it was there either.
Because you know what? That was the version I made for me to play at the top of the show, so it doesn't matter. I had left all my scrap of me like poking around the website.
Yeah.
And I didn't delete it. I left it at the end of the project. So I hit render, it just rendered it.
It's up there on YouTube now.
You can watch me fumbling around with OBS.
But it also is great because it shows you her website and then you're like, you click like transgender.
Yeah.
And then drop down menu comes, you're like male to female and you like click it and then it opens up the page like what is male to female transgender surgery? I thought it was on purpose, and I liked it. I just left it.
No, those were to be like
the YouTube viewers.
Those were to be faded in during the song, but the song's only 2 minutes, so it ran out of time. And I thought it was more important to have the HN theories in the video.
Yeah, the YouTube commenters like, "What's with the shit to 4 minutes of blank nothing?"
Yeah,
I was like, "Well, just watch all the way to the end." Some people did, and they saw it.
I know. I am embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
I'm not. I'm sorry. Fine. Who cares? Whatever.
I'm
embarrassed that I got Claire Lehman wrong. You're embarrassed about this.
Well, yeah, we're both embarrassed about like what our main jobs are. You're embarrassed that you got a Jew thing wrong. I'm embarrassed that I got a piece of production wrong.
Right. Yeah. So there we go.
You know.
But I think that to go back to this thing with the conversion therapy and whatnot, like and all this stuff, it's like it's really funny how like you're totally not allowed to do something that might work on something that's like again like they always lie. Everything they say is the opposite of the truth, and all policy recommendations make the problem worse. It's literally, whether it comes to race or homosexuality, like the narratives on it are lies, and the policy recommendations that come out of those false narratives make the problems worse because they're based on false narratives. So I think a perfect solution to homosexuality could be psychotherapy. If we had that were psychologists, if the field wasn't totally
If the field was interested in curing it, which they're not.
Yeah, they're not interested
they're not
in curing
interested
it.
In curing
they want to make it more. They want to make it to happen more.
It's like, yeah.
Right? And the other thing is this. Also, even if there are these individuals that are born homosexual for whatever reason, it's not society's job to cater to this. Right? Because obviously, even if you are born that way, you still manifest these negative behaviors. You still go out and still go out and catch diseases. You still go out and get fistulas in more ways than one.
Here's like the sad take on it is like when you bring up say these cursed individuals exist, and it's like the party that wants to say, well, I mean, we should be able to just like deal with them being around without glorifying them or making them. It's like we tried that and this is what we got. Like you can't even tolerate them. Like I don't know what that means in the physical world, but it's like we tried being like, all right, let's not be dicks. Poor choice of word. Let's not be dicks to Fang. I don't want to be viciously like sucked on. No. It's like let's not be horrible to these people. Let's find a space for them to exist in our society without.
I'm not saying that.
But that's kind of what people. That's what led to like this total celebration of it. It was like people being.
Well, that
like,
was the first step.
That was the whole like that was this whole civility. It's like let's just be civil. Let's not. We don't have to like scream faggot at them and chase them down the block. It's like well maybe you do. I don't know.
It's possible that you do. Well, here's my thing. You have to not intervene when people do that.
Yeah, I think I think that's the balance to strike.
You don't have to do like...
Society has to permit like an open anti-gay, like, fuck you faggot, get out of here.
Yes.
Like, that has to be okay. Like, that can't be
exactly.
Like, that can't be like sad face.
It's not. We don't have to go as far as like throwing them off buildings, like hunting them down, throwing them off buildings. But the other thing is this. This is how it just used to be. So you can't really say like, we never tried that. Because that was how it was for, like, thousands of years.
Or yelling faggot,
Like, people just, like...
But they put in the idea that we shouldn't do that anymore. We should...
Yes.
Without making a big deal, we should just let them exist. And then that turned into...
Right.
Let them have, like, open-air fuck party gay porn bars on
because they
New
know
York
they,
City
they can't
you can
go,
walk by with your children from the sidewalk and see what's happening in there. That's where you are now.
They can't go from 0 to 100, right? So, like, if we're at 0... We're at 100 now.
Well, they told but us, they told they us we went, could do. They told us we could do 5.
Right.
That was where it began.
Yes.
Like, let's just do 5.
5 fingers in a fist formation.
Perhaps the old knuckleball. It's baseball season.
But what I mean is that, like, they when they first started this, the argument is always just tolerate them.
Yeah.
Just deal. Same with blacks.
Let's just do
the same thing with them. So it's like, at first it's like, look, just why are you excluding these people? They're humans.
What are you so afraid of?
And it's like, that makes sense to people. Like, so yeah, God, you know what? Yeah, you're right. And then, like, it's like, oh, wait, whoops.
Imagine the gay question, like, what are you so afraid of? You afraid of them? It's like, no, I'm afraid of a day in which you're, like, forcing my children to be like them. I'm afraid of a day where basically all of, like, entertainment media and mass media is just permeated with this stuff, and you can't avoid it, and you can't voice a concern for it anymore, lest you lose your livelihood, property, whatever they can take away from you, they will. And gee, look where we are. Look what happened. Yeah. The things that people were afraid of are coming.
We have state mandated transgenderism.
Yep.
And also, it's like, then the other thing is, like, it's entirely possible that if this transgenderism, this guy's wanting to be girls thing, that's admittedly a psychological problem.
Mm.
So then,
you know, they never
why don't we just disabuse them of that? Now, transgenderism is also an example of social engineering making more of these people. We have actually, because that still is still really alien and upsetting to people, people are fighting back against it. So we do have, even the intellectual dark web, although they would say, despite their whole thing of two genders, they would also be against conversion therapy. Guaranteed. Right, intellectual dark web.
Don't they like Blair?
Some of the staunchest opponents. But didn't that person say they were detransitioning?
Oh, I don't remember.
I heard Blair White is detransitioning.
Oh, yeah. Wow, okay. I don't know.
Who cares?
Throw it in jail.
I know that ContraPoints is getting some sort of facial surgery. It's like, how much fucking money do these people have? Like,
ContraPoints.
And then they have the nerve to put out the New Yorker put that magazine cover out of, like, people getting plastic surgery to look like Chad. Like, they have the nerve.
That was New York Magazine.
Is that New York Magazine? They did nerve.
And Chad is like an ugly mulatto.
They had the nerve to be like, look at these sad idiots that are using plastic surgery to try to be something that they're not.
It's like, wow. Exactly right. Wow. That's a very good angle.
Wow.
Why are they making fun? It's like, we should do like,
it's like, this I see both as sick and weird, but it's like, just we should like, do like, this one's bad.
This is not Stacy. This is Chad, not Stacy. Chad tried to get surgery to be Stacy, and he ended up with a fistula and cancerous polymicrobial soup.
This is how we get a full socialization. Nice, like, we're gonna have a
nice pasta for
have you. That just so that trainees can afford to have surgeries.
Some pesto sauce,
because the income inequality of not being able to afford the process.
Well, they're just gonna—they already force insurance companies to cover this shit.
Yeah,
I mean, the reason insurance companies cover it is not because they want to. I mean, this is one thing that kind of, like, this is one, like, one check mark in libertarian.
Well, they're held at gunpoint, because imagine being the CEO of that insurance company, you're like, well, we don't cover trans surgery.
Yeah, that's not going to fly. No, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, this is sort of like a check in the libertarian corner on this. If you're a health insurance company and you're forced to cover trans surgery and you're forced to cover AIDS people, so, like, that's another thing you can't not cover. So if somebody comes in, they've got AIDS, you can't overcharge them. But those AIDS drugs, so basically they're just grifting. They're not contributing to the insurance pool. They're just taking the insurance. Yeah.
Well, you're contributing to make sure they get their care.
Yeah.
That was the underlying philosophy behind the Obamacare thing to force everybody to pay. It's like,
yeah,
you know, what do they call that fine, that like $700 tax you'd have to pay if you didn't have insurance? Like, that was trying to get you into the system.
Well, the point is insurance. I mean, this is a libertarian point, but it is
coverage
true.
Mandate. Sorry, that's what it was.
Well, this is a libertarian point, but it is true. Is that insurance as a system works when high risk people are excluded from the pool, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, you have to exclude high risk individuals from the pool. But in healthcare,
and it works even better if you force the lowest fucking right to pay in. The lowest risk people have to be forced.
Well,
to
right. That's why what Obamacare was doing. They were saying since we can't exclude these super high risk people like transgenders and homosexuals, for politically correct reasons. And there are some people that like actually have conditions that they didn't do anything wrong. They just have them. It sucks, and that's terrible. And also the whole end of life stuff. And when you get cancer when you're old, then you'll spend like million whatever.
Mm.
So they're like, yeah. So what we'll do. Let's make all these young people that are healthy and aren't going to go to the doctor be part of it.
Get in there.
But this is why it actually just makes more sense to actually just have a state system that just pays for it. That actually makes more sense than try to shoehorn it. Trying to shoehorn this system where you cannot rationally allocate risk pools. You can't for political reasons. And that's been well proven now. Like, libertarians, you have a point. You have a point that they are undermining the very function of insurance by forcing insurance pools to include high-risk individuals. Absolutely have a point. You're right. But it's a political issue. Mm. So you can't, because of political reasons, exclude these people. So we just need to have a state program. That's it. That's my position. You can disagree.
Yeah, because essentially it's like you've got a car insurance policy and you're forcing all these drunk drivers. You're like, oh, well, you're
forcing a bunch of illegal Mexicans.
We can't charge more for these guys just because they crashed the car 15 times.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it doesn't make any sense. But it is funny how, politically speaking, there are potential ways of dealing with homosexuality and transgender and stuff that are being made illegal. The same way, how do you deal with black people? Well, discrimination, frankly.
That's segregation.
You don't have to hunt them down. You don't have to kill them or lynch them or treat them badly.
Put them over
discrimination.
There.
That's it. Most of them don't really mind it. They do. It happens naturally anyway. Mm-hmm. Go to a school lunch cafeteria and look at it. It's the integration that is unnatural, right? And so people, and then the other thing is people, the integration is so much a part of our lives because of all the laws that are overseeing how institutions have to behave, that people assume it's natural because they don't know. A lot of people, like the average person, you don't know that your school is totally governed by a set of laws that mandate all this integration. You don't know that. So you just assume this is just how it is, right? Anyway, what, something happened?
Yeah, you're used to the new normal. I mean, you weren't there whenever they were all integrated, so you don't remember what the before time was like.
Yeah, I don't ever remember a time without black people all over the place. Frankly, I mean, that's just where I'm from.
I do.
Yeah.
Where I'm from, I remember that very well.
So anyway, I came from a nice suburb too, but there was still black people.
Not me.
Yeah.
It was like culture shock.
I hope to live the time we look back on the transgender stuff is the same way we do lobotomies.
Well, I've been saying that for a while, but I suspect not, because lobotomies weren't political. Right, there wasn't a whole political agenda behind lobotomies. It's fucking bad science.
Yeah. I mean, this is just as bad, if not worse.
It's worse. Well, it's up there. But lobotomies, they self-corrected.
You're just mutilating someone.
There was no lobotomy constituency. Right? There was no constituency to fight for it. Once the medical community was like, yeah, this is fucking stupid. What were we thinking? This is horrible. We literally made a bunch of people retarded.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine
please
remove
my frontal lobe. Identify as a person with half a brain and take out the front part.
I mean, after they did it to Rose Kennedy, the Kennedy family was like,
by the way, can you also close down all the state-run mental institutions so I can live in a tent city?
Yes.
Please, can you also do that? That's what that's the constituency. San Francisco, like Seattle and elsewhere.
But that's funny how we talked about how what the real agenda behind some of that stuff might be, the other show, how they're just trying to get white homeowners out of these areas so they can build these high-rise compartmentalized apartments and stuff. High-density housing.
I'm your high-density.
I was talking to someone the other day. After that show, someone was telling me how they had friends in like a gentrifying city who were living in these apartments, and they were all bought out so they could build. So now that they've gentrified it, they've made this neighborhood cool.
Cool.
Well, now we're going to buy up all these old warehouses that these hipsters were living in. We're going to build high-density apartments, and we'll just put the hipsters in there. That's why when I see these new high-density, these new style apartment buildings, it's like one section is brick, then one section is like white-painted, and one section is brick. They're like these cubed. You see it right by the Beacon train station, that new stuff that's going up, those new apartments.
Oh, man,
you know what I'm talking about?
I've been over there in a while.
Dude, they've almost completed that building.
I'll have to go have a look.
But you see, it's like the new style of apartment building.
That's Bugman Storage, right?
Bugman Storage. Yeah, exactly. It's going up. I see it everywhere.
You see a sign on my lawn that says free Bugman Storage?
Yeah, that's why I have to leave the couch, because there's not Bugman Storage down here anymore. So I'm homeless now. I'm off the couch. But yeah, there's some Bugman Storage going up in Poughkeepsie as well.
Yeah, right by the train station, right? That's what they were shutting down in like Beverly Hills and stuff. Like there was public transportation stops there. They were trying to do this to it, and they were like, "Nope, NIMBY."
Yeah.
That's what those stories were. That's what that Manju story was about a few weeks
Nimji, ago. Not in my Jewish backyard.
Not in my Jewish backyard. So I have one last, before we go, I have one last piece of bants about Clown World.
Okay.
In Clown World, only in Clown World, the Hebrew box orifice with their show Chernobyl.
Hebrew butt orifice?
Yes, Hebrew butt orifice.
We haven't even gotten to what you wanted to do, Michael Caine thing.
I think we did Michael Caine to death last hour. It's done.
We did Michael Caine.
But this is the striker part.
Okay.
Like Hebrew butt orifice is like coming out as like extremely critical of the Soviet regime.
Well, of course.
And Stryker's still trying to resuscitate it over there.
Well, of course. Why else would the Jews be trying to bring it, be attacking it if it wasn't great, right?
Wait, what? Oh, I'm thunderstruck.
Stryker is validated by the fact that HBO is attacking it.
How so?
Well, obviously everything HBO attacks is good.
I mean, okay.
I'm just fucking with you. But
thunderstruck.
No, but think about it. Why would Stryker...
But why would I believe Jews?
Why would Stryker accept the fact that HBO is critiquing something as, like, meaning that it's bad?
Because I already thought what they were critiquing was bad, so I accept it.
Also, Stryker doesn't actually defend the Soviet government.
I know.
So you know that.
It's, I mean, that's why I did say this was Bantz, remember?
He'll do it.
I did say this
it is Bantz. I know. But it's like... But I'm thinking, like... You can't go to Stryker and be like, hey, Stryker, this thing that you like, HBO is attacking it, so you should stop liking it.
No, I was just saying that.
That's not going to work.
It's just
right?
funny that in Clown World and on your right-wing alternative media, you have a Soviet apologist, and then your left-wing Jewish media is being highly critical. That was the point I was making. That was the bants I was doing.
Yes, well, that's because they feel threatened by it now.
I guess so. It actually gives me a little bit of hope. Maybe they can come around to be sane. Then I'm like, wait.
Also,
no,
dude, in that era, they hated the fucking USSR. You will hear Jews, because, again, like, this is how you know the Holocaust is bullshit. Because you will hear Jews that will talk about, like, minor inconveniences suffered by Jews in the Soviet Union as being, like, pogroms and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, that's the thing with anything, right? It's like, you know.
Was a nuclear explosion at the power plant, like, a pogrom? Is that
probably.
They had to leave their homes? I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Like, actually, they actually created they created several composite characters. For it, and one of them represents, like, basically, if it was in our age, he would be like the shut the fuck up boomer guy. He's this old guy who comes in and gives this like rousing little speech about having faith in the state and faith in the bureaucrats that are in charge and faith in doing their duty to save the people. And he's like, cut the phone lines, seal off the city, stop the spread of misinformation. And like, they all, like, everyone jumps up to thunderous applause when he's done. It's fucking hilarious.
That's like, pretty good. I like that.
It's almost. It's like really contrived and like robotic the way they do it. And there's several instances of this where they have some Soviet, like, even like small scale guy, like they talk to the hero who is melting in an acid vat, Mark Stein. And that's what he looks like to me. It's like, totally not radiation burns on my face, Tucker.
Totally not contaminated with radiation, Mark Stein. Totally not exposed to uranium isotope.
I'll probably never,
Mark Stein.
I'll never pull up a picture of him in time because I'm trying to talk at the same time and I can't talk and Google at the same time. I'm sorry, I can't talk.
Totally
quant. Totally not melting wax figure, Mark Stein.
Does he die like that? Does he get radiation sickness and die, like, melt away?
Oh, the hero of Chernobyl, he kills himself. They reveal that in the first episode because they don't want to do the cheap shock at the end to tell you what happened. The cost of his... Basically, he's like a whistleblower. It's kind of... And they show him going up against bureaucrat gang plus Soviet bureaucrat gang, which is highly advanced.
That's like the most advanced bureaucrat gang ever. Yeah.
There's actually... Basically, the entire first episode is like several messengers being shot, trying to say that, no, really... I think the reactor's fucked. I think the core's fucked. And they're like, that's impossible. That's impossible, Michael. A reactor doesn't explode. It can't be.
Yeah, that's right. That was the gimmick. It can't explode.
It can't possibly.
So why did he kill himself? Because he got radiation poisoning? He didn't want to die horribly? Or just
no, I think he killed it because of the political ramifications in that system of telling the truth and hurting the reputation. Because I think they probably point at that event as part of what brought down the Soviet Union, right? The lack of... Because there's a point they have the Gorbachev characters hitting, like, our power is based on the perception of our power, and this disaster is a disaster for that. That's the point they make there. But they really make...
Well, they were clinging to that old the A-B test, and they came out as B.
Yeah.
So they were clinging to that.
This is when they'd already clearly lost, you know?
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
Yeah, it was like over.
Yeah, it was like 80.
Like, everyone knew it was over.
Was it 86, 87, something like that when this happened? I don't remember.
Was that... Chernobyl or Three Mile Island? What was Three Mile Island?
I don't even
where
remember.
Where the fuck was that?
Chernobyl was in the Ukraine. I don't know where Three Mile Island was.
I thought Three Mile Island was like in the U.S. somewhere.
Yeah, that was. That wasn't a meltdown, was it?
That was like some. Hold on.
It was like some minor shit, though, because they always blow this stuff out of proportion.
Well, yeah, because the anti-nuclear energy movement is just huge. And
it was in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and it was a meltdown and partial meltdown of the reactor and subsequent radiation leak March 28th, 1979. Most significant accident in U.S. history. No,
oh, that's the other thing.
I don't know if anyone died, dude.
This is the other thing. I think the thing that Hebrew box orifice might actually be trying to defend is the idea that nukes are real. All right, because let's go. Like, the nukes aren't real.
That's some real psyop. You've uncovered the truth.
It's been going out there. Because look, I read about Chernobyl the other day. Because as an NPC, I'm sort of an advanced NPC. Like, I don't just watch product. I go and I read about product as well. So I want to know how accurate my product is that I'm consuming. So I looked up some of the Chernobyl stuff, and there's all this radiation. It's this disaster. Only 31 people died.
Mm-hmm.
They say that like millions of people were affected by this radiation cloud that was shot all across the continent. They can only credibly link 4,000 deaths to this disaster. And this was supposed to be like, and this like radiation was supposed to be emanating like 100 Hiroshima bombs a day.
Yeah.
For weeks. Is,
but that's like.
So it's like
even,
that means.
Even if you were to give them like, okay, maybe 5,000 people, whatever, be generous. The worst disasters I was able to find were actually hydroelectric dams, and those killed like 300,000.
Yeah. 300,000?
They had a fucking like, fuel pipeline explode one time, and it blew up two villages.
Holy shit.
Wow. Jesus. Where did this happen?
A lot of this stuff's in Asia. Japan and China.
Dude, there's always these industrial accidents in Asia. There's these mind-blowing casualties. Like, thousands of people that die. It's like, what the fuck? Like, they had that chemical spill in India killed like 20,000 people.
Oh my god.
What do you mean? Like, there's like.
Wait, was that just like a rainstorm?
No. There's. The chemical. No, there's like still people that are trying to sue like the U.S. chemical company whose plant it was today. I forget what it's called. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. Activists are still talking about it today. But the thing with Three Mile Island, okay, there's Chernobyl, I think it was after Three Mile Island. Three Mile Island was 1979.
Yeah, this was in the 80s. It was 86 or 87.
Okay, so Chernobyl, the other thing is that this, after Three Mile Island, and then probably bolstered after Chernobyl, the Chernobyl disaster was in 1986.
Yeah.
I just want to get that fact right. Okay, so.
There he is.
So the Chernobyl accident and first Three Mile Island and then the Chernobyl accident bolstered this. Anti-nuclear groups sprung up in the United States in the wake of Three Mile Island. And this is what I think part of this is. I don't know about this show itself, but
that's melting Mark Stein.
I've right seen there. That actor before.
He's like,
I've seen that actor
he's
before.
Like the ugliest version of Mark Stein you can think of.
They got that hysterical Silent Spring Cat Lady type on board with anti-nuclear propaganda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, and the thing of this is that what has this done? It has crippled, and with one country that didn't fall prey to this was France, who still has a significant amount of their power grid powered by nuclear reactors. They haven't had a problem.
Well, they will soon once those Somalians get jobs.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Those Algerians and Somalians get involved,
Shut down the power plant on your way out the door, okay?
But Fukushima also had unremarkable health effects. Like, that's the thing. And the people that died at Chernobyl died immediately. There was no lingering issue.
They touched the fuel stuff. They touched the graphite.
Yeah, they got radiation poisoning from immediate exposure to a nuclear isotope breaking down, and their DNA was chopped apart by free radicals, basically.
Yep.
And so they just die, right? But that's not the same thing as, that's not what happens on, that doesn't ever happen on, like, a broad scale. Like, it doesn't. And so it never has, like, they repopulated Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Three Mile Island, nobody died.
Chernobyl is you can take a tour of it now.
Yeah, you can go there.
Chernobyl,
you
could, too. They were running a safety test, right? They did some cockamamie, insane, like, protocol-breaking safety test that actually caused the meltdown, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be, but
they were creating
a
test.
It wasn't like it was just humming along one day and mysteriously melted down.
They tried to create weird adverse conditions for the reactor, but what the problem is what happened was something they didn't foresee, where basically the control rods became fusion accelerated rather than slowing down the flux of the neutron. It sped it up.
That's not the point I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
My point is
autism. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, autism sometimes.
Details.
Autism isn't always fun.
Great.
Autism
but yeah,
isn't
it wasn't, but
fun.
He's right, though. It wasn't just running along and then suddenly melted down. They did a thing to it. That's
Can I continue?
I guess so. I don't see what's more important than the autism.
The greater political ramifications
of autism?
Of, well, we still haven't we haven't figured out what those will be.
Well,
yet,
go ahead.
But no, the point is that it spurred on the green movement, and you know, first they had Three Mile Island, then all these anti-nuclear things came up. They managed to literally outlaw the new construction of nuclear reactors in the United States. So the only ones we have were made in the 70s.
Yep.
Now, why would this be a thing?
Oh,
particularly because in 1979, what else happened? The Arab oil fucking embargo to protest Israel. That was happening in the 70s as well. Mm-hmm. So why do we get, in a time when the vulnerability of oil because of Middle East politics is shown to the public because of the Arab oil embargo and that whole thing, why all of a sudden now we have this nuclear accident? And then we have these green groups springing up, and what do they want to do? They want to deny us nuclear power.
Yep.
They want to make sure we're dependent on oil, and then these same groups say, no, you can't drill in the United States for oil.
Yeah.
We're going to prevent you from drilling off the Gulf of Mexico. We're going to prevent you from drilling in Alaska. All these places where we know that there's a ton of oil, and then it's like, how much oil is there that we don't know about? They're not even allowed to explore it, but the Arab countries can't. Well, guess what, Goy? We want you permanently involved in the Middle East. And all of these environmental groups are led primarily by Jews. It's very Jewish. Now, there's some people that are like, oh, well, did you notice how they suddenly became environmentalists after the fall of the USSR? So they didn't have their friendly. I'm like, no, that's not the issue.
They're water balance.
They were the
green
environmentalism.
On the outside, red on the inside.
The environmentalism started significantly before the fall of the USSR. But it did coincide with the state of Israel coming into being and the environmentalism part specifically being anti-fossil fuel and crippled U.S. fossil fuel exploration. So you can still drill in the United States in some places. You can still do deep water drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, which leads to environmental disasters like the Deepwater Horizon spill. And you can still do that, but no new reactors, no new offshore platforms. No drilling in the National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska, which, by the way, an oil platform does not bother the fucking wildlife up there.
I think
the emus are perfectly happy just relaxing.
I don't think there is any wildlife there. I think that's another one of the sticking points.
It's too fucking cold.
Yeah.
There is some, but they're not hurt by an oil drilling place. So, the purpose of this stuff is to keep the U.S. bogged down in the Middle East. And the funny thing is, that's the one critique of their shit that they never answer. I'm not the first one to say it. People think that people say, now, what you usually get is right-wingers that say this is like some, look at this dumb unintended consequence of these do-gooder leftists, that they are so environmentally conscious, but they're inadvertently creating wars. And I'm like, what makes you think it's inadvertent?
Yeah, right.
You know, that's my take on this now. What makes you think it's fucking inadvertent? So, yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway,
I think we're
done. Yeah, it's crazy. Seems like there is a revival in creating these nuclear reactors in the 2000s, and bam, you had Fukushima, and all that went to hell.
Well, ours is getting shut off. Cuomo,
Indian Head,
Indian Point,
Indian Point, sorry.
Indian Point 3.
They're shutting down Indian Point.
I'm gay.
Oh, wrong one. Where's the Cuomo one?
I am gay.
Well, I know that there was an anti-Indian Point movement for a while,
and they finally got their way, based on nothing.
Yeah, based on the. I remember, there's that park you can go across the river, and you see Indian Point right across the river. And, like, I've been there. I mean, I used to. I've gone there, I go and hang out there, and I'd be with my friends, and be like, you know, if That melts down, we're all dead. And I'm like, it's not going to happen, don't worry. I was like, first of all, it's not even necessarily true. There's like 10-foot thick concrete surrounding that thing.
Well, yeah, right? they have the thing the Soviets didn't have, was they have the concrete barrier there that can't be.
I remember they actually did, when that scare happened, when this, Fukushima, there's even, before Fukushima, people were freaking out about Indian Point, though. They just were.
Oh, they've been freaking out forever.
Cat Lady's been freaking out forever about it. And
trying to shut it off.
And they wanted to shut it off, and they never successfully did. But what they did do is they got people to go in there, and they did special, even more safety stuff. They did that recently.
But that's
remember.
Not. But that doesn't help. That's not what they want. They want it all.
It didn't. Well, the point is, doing that was just to make these people stop freaking out. But they didn't. Yeah. They just wanted to shut down.
Yeah.
And reality, like, all these things are led by a Jew. There's always like a Jew with like a long hair and a beard and like a sweater.
I don't think there's ever
and,
been
like,
an
corduroy
Indian
pants
point.
Who's like leading these things. But it's like, what's your real agenda here?
I don't believe there's ever been any problem at Indian
There's never
point.
Been a problem at Indian Point, dude. No.
No, there was speculation
it's
after.
It's purely.
Where they ramped it up after 9/11.
After 9/11,
like, what
they
if
were
somebody,
saying.
What if somebody crashes a plane into the dome? It's like, okay.
Yeah.
What if somebody does that? Now, how do you. You've got to trigger the meltdown as soon as that happens. Implying the plane could go through it. It can't, but.
Yeah, well, that's why they.
Like, you need both. You need the
that
whole.
That was what triggered the renovations. It's now surrounded by literally like 10-foot thick concrete.
You need something to breach the dome, and you need a meltdown. You need both things. One or the other isn't. If you have a meltdown, it's going to be within the dome. You breach the dome and it doesn't melt down, everything's fine. So you need both things.
Yeah.
But you couldn't tell that to these people.
Well, they don't understand it. I don't entirely understand it either. I'm not a technical expert on this stuff, but I do remember. After 9/11, the scare about Indian Point is a vulnerable.
Because you gotta understand,
and this was pushed by the government itself. Right. This was pushed by the government itself. They were like, "We're going to be reinforcing vulnerable structures and target points for these evil terrorists coming after us. One of them is going to be Indian Point." And they'd be like, "Whoa, my God, what do you mean vulnerable structure? My kids are going to die."
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah,
you just have to listen to this annoying like alarm when they test it every few months.
Opie and Anthony were on that shit too.
What were they on?
Like wanting to shut. Opie wanted to shut down.
Of course, Opie's a fucking retard.
Anthony didn't. Anthony's also a fucking retard.
But he's like more of a.
He's
fucking,
like less of a retard, but he's still a retard.
He's more retarded in a more fucking relatable way.
Yeah, he's more relatable.
Because
people
don't understand, like the big dome, it's not protecting you from like the nuclear reaction that's going on. It's protecting you if something goes wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like it's not just like spewing fucking radioactive particles all over inside that dome all the time, and that's how it's like. No, it's fucking. It's in there boiling water. Fucking like way underneath a bunch of water.
Yeah,
there's a fucking fission reaction going
underneath a bunch of tritium, I believe. Right,
it's heavy water. H3.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fucking,
like
what happened.
The thing. I was just saying, there's gonna be a way to keep these hysterical cat ladies out of the political process because, like, where I live, we've got this thing where the
repeal the 19th.
The natural gas pipelines are going down.
We did this here too.
Put these up everywhere, and it's like they protest pipelines.
Yep.
They protest nuclear reactors.
Don't build things.
Like, what do you fucking faggots want? Like, what do you want to generate your power with?
I think Mike's right.
You think like some
Middle Eastern oil. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, the only Mike's thing they want is Arab oil. The only thing these cat ladies will be satisfied is that Persian Gulf crude.
I guess so.
That's the only thing that they want. Because it's the only thing that's out of their reach, and this is the thing. And these broads are fucking retarded, so it's easy for Jews to get them hysterical on dumb shit.
Yep.
Like, I really think that it was malicious for the U.S. government, and it was the fucking government that did it after 9/11 to make these announcements. Don't worry about Indian Point, we're securing it. And be like, wait, what do you mean? What? Indian Point, what?
It's not secure already.
What are you doing? What's going on? And that's when they said that. They triggered the freakouts.
Yep.
I remember this distinctly now.
They protest wind power around here.
Yep.
Wind power is fucking gay.
Every form of energy generation that
they should just
like,
kill themselves.
Yeah, the old Alex and the old Grug take used to be like, what do they want? Just sit around in the dark and like light fires? Like, no. Now, like, I believe it. It's like, no, they want you using Persian Gulf oil.
Just we won't take
That's
anything
it.
Less than the best.
That's it. Close down the coal fired plants. What are we going to use? Diesel. Make a diesel fire plant. Or diesel fired power plant. Did they shut those down too? I believe only Obama shut down coal.
I mean, what they really want is like solar power and shit like that.
But that's still like that. I think that.
But
that's a great cover for this because that shit doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But there's another aspect to it.
Oh god.
To build solar panels, you need to mine rare earth elements.
Oh god.
Which they have shut down the mines in the United States, and it's not because we don't have any of these earth elements in our country because we have a huge continent-wide country. But they shut it down for this environmental bullshit, so we had to get it all from China.
All right.
It's so mad. These people are just retarded.
They've managed to NIMBY every solution, though.
And the thing is,
they'll complain about the...
This kind of environment, this is why I like...
Well, so this isn't solutions-based politics. This is just problem-based politics.
This is, but I want to just... The final point here. The final point. I know you got to hear. Final point. This kind of environmentalism, there's a lot of times when you'll attack environmentalism and you'll get like Pine Tree Gang coming in. And it's like, dude, no one wants to chop down the pine trees. Okay. No one is not about your kind of environmentalism. This kind of environmentalism is literally like preventing us from having nice things.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. Mm-hmm. So that's why people hate it. And they give the conservationist, that's actually a word where I like this term. The conservationist, the person that cares about nature, that preserving beautiful spaces for people and animals and nature to thrive, we're all in favor of that. That's not what this is about. This is about literally just making everything retarded and stupid.
Flexing.
And in fact, the result is, wow, we're dependent on Arab oil. That's the result.
I love it.
And China's rare earth metals, among other things.
And Venezuelan socialism.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. No. I gotta take a piss so bad. All right. All right. We have to leave. We're gonna leave. Bye. See you next week.
Bye. See ya.
Goodbye.
Later. See ya.
Always give your best, Michael.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't hate unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.